You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across in the podcast. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We actually have a lot of topics to get to, a lot of football news and the sports sampler, some Netflix news and entertainment, and of course, odd news. And also, Nana's going to be joining us. So we got a full boatload on this week's episode. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we give you the right dose of entertainment, infotainment, comedy, and just sheer wackiness. Because, you know, sometimes we go off the beaten path.
Going to stuff you. To the gills.
There you go.
With fun times.
Mike laying it all out on the line
right
there. Yes. But before we get to all those wonderful news topics that we need to get to, let's do a little personal bit to let you know what we've been up to. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up in the world of Costanzo Country?
I'm good. Costanzo Country has been very busy with a show that I am just absolutely in love with right now. On your recommendation, the HBO dramedy Barry has been so good. I've been catching up on that. I'm midway through season two, and
there's the
music. You know, I was going to say
episode.
What convinced me to watch it was this music that you play. I think it's coming back into entertainment.
Sometimes I use this as a music bed, but
yeah,
it's the theme.
It's the theme to Barry.
Yeah,
that's how I end up watching a lot of shows. That's how I ended up watching Game of Thrones.
Just was music beds.
No, because I listened to the theme of Game of Thrones and said, I got to see what this is about. And you played this during the show, and I said, that's really catchy. What is that? And you said, oh, it's the theme to Barry. And then you recommended it because you're a huge fan.
Love this show, yeah.
But then I just fell in love. I'm tearing through it. It's so short, so quick. It's pitched as a dramedy, a dark, dramatic comedy. But I feel like that undersells the weight of the story, right? Because it's about a soldier who becomes a contract killer, but his heart's not in it. And then, of course, he takes up acting classes. And it's sort of like this big existential journey. Also, there's this whole underlying theme of him dealing with this PTSD, you know, and how it's impacting him.
Basically, Bill Hader is amazing in this role.
I've never seen such range from you know, going from Stefan on Saturday Night Live to this really complex, layered character.
Yeah. And that's why it's one of my favorite shows. It walks the line between comedy and drama really well.
Oh, perfect.
And Bill Hader just I don't know, he's somehow the complete package in it. He's funny, but he's also serious, and he's also menacing too, which I didn't think he could be.
At times he had me going, man, this guy is scary. And at other times, choking back tears. And at other times, just busting up laughing. And that is the hallmark of an exceptional show. Because it hits all those. There was one scene, I don't want to give away too much of it, but midway through the second season, where he's talking with his acting teacher, and it's really, really emotional. He's going over his one experience in the war, and it's got you on the verge of, you know, of tears. You got the chills, and the performance, it's just drawing you in, and it's so somber and so profound, and then they hit you with these one-liners that just flips on its head, makes you bust up laughing, and it's just perfectly timed, the pacing, the writing of it, executed so flawlessly. I can't recommend it enough. Thank you, Rich, for recommending it to me and playing the music to convince me to watch it. Now I'm recommending it to everybody else.
There you go. Score one for Rich. There you go. Yeah.
Just really, really good stuff. So that's what I've been up to. I'm going to probably finish it later this week.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to talk to you about the end of the second season.
Yeah. It's not that long. You can knock it out.
Oh, yeah. You can watch the whole series to date in, I think, like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Or something short like that, or maybe 8 hours, whatever it is. Because half hour shows,
and there's 16, eight episodes.
It's 8 hours.
Yeah, so it's eight,
16 episodes,
divided
half
by
hour.
Two.
Yeah.
We can do math.
Yay, math. Rich, what have you been up to recently, though, besides failing miserable at math with me?
Yeah, there was a lot of things happening this past weekend. I guess probably the one that I'd probably want to mention is for the first time ever, I got to walk on board a battleship.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's different.
Yeah.
Where is this? In Philly, the Naval Yards?
No, this was Battleship, New Jersey.
Okay.
And apparently they use it as a venue for like parties and stuff.
Oh.
You know, because it obviously don't use it anymore.
Right.
But yeah, it was interesting. Unique venue to host a party on, so, and I went to over the weekend.
So you were at a party. It wasn't like a historical tour of a ship.
No. They do offer historical tours, right, if you want to go through like a guided tour.
But this
and stuff.
Was for an event,
right? And okay. And they actually rent out space
on
the battleship. And yeah, it was interesting.
So what was it like? How big are these things?
When
you're on the, because you see pictures of them, and I've never set foot on one, so I don't know. But they seem like they're really, really big. But
they are. They're huge. I mean, the event that I was at held three huge tents.
Oh wow!
And I'm talking about like the tents that you have to hire a company for,
right?
You know, not the ones you bring down the shore.
No, these are not the Costanza Caravan shore,
right,
tents.
No. These are the ones like you hire a company to come out, and you can fit three of them on the deck of this battleship. And then probably the most interesting moment was there was a bit where I had to go downstairs to retrieve something for the event that we needed, and I had to walk down like a hatch,
right,
and it's so narrow. You almost feel like you're climbing down a ladder as opposed to walking downstairs.
Are the stairs the real steep ones?
Yeah, they're super steep and super narrow.
Okay.
So I was like, I need to watch my step here.
I would be totally nervous that I would just go head first and kill myself.
I definitely took my time going down the step.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine like soldiers are you know, if it was an actual battle, you're running up and down.
Oh, they're probably flying up and down those in like a second.
Yeah, and I couldn't imagine doing that.
Just
so
reason number 728 why I can't go into the armed services.
Yeah, there I am, like just slowly plodding down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like I'm not falling over.
You would die in battle,
right,
is what
yes.
you're saying.
Oh yeah, if you ever need me in war, we're screwed. We're gonna lose the battle. don't put me in the war. But it was interesting though, you know, it's something I've never done before. I've never been on a battleship.
That's awesome.
Cross that off the checklist.
Well, no, I mean, it is an experience to see something like that. It reminds me of when I went to, when it was open, you know, the, Willow Grove Air Base.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right.
And I actually got to go on there for a tour and see like the fighter jets, like up close and like stand underneath, I think it was an A-10 Warthog. And it's just incredible, like the size of these things and how intimidating they are, because you see them from a distance. But
right.
being up and close to them, and in your case, walking on the deck of one of these "quote unquote" war machines,
yeah,
it's like breathtaking,
right? And you never realize how the scope of it.
Yeah,
it's just huge, and like and sure, the cannons don't work, but the cannons are still there.
How big were the cannons?
They're huge. They're freaking.
Were they like taller than a person?
They're longer than your kitchen. They're
wow.
they're huge. They are massive. So, yeah, I can't imagine, like, if this was actually in battle.
USA. U.S. No, I'm kidding.
but, yeah, it was a unique experience, something I got to do over the weekend with one of the events we were hosting. So
awesome.
There you go. Yeah, you never know where you're going to find me in the city on the weekend.
Man in a battleship, man in a man in an event tent, same thing, right?
Yeah. All right, but let's put all that aside, because there is so much news to get to for week one of the NFL season. We need to launch right into it. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face. We're going to skip the two-minute drill because we gotta cover all of the crazy football news that happened. I know usually we do Eagles first.
Yeah.
But I think this story is so damn crazy.
Okay.
That
we're calling an audible, just like Carson Wentz.
I think we have to talk about it first. We're going into the awesome, crazy, dumb, stupidity saga corner. Yeah, that's our theme song for stupid corner.
You know what? I have a feeling that in the 2019 football season, we're going to have to make the stupidity saga a recurring segment, because You know, we want to talk about
so many dumb things.
We want to talk about week one, but we can't because there are certain franchises that are just insistent upon creating headlines out of the sheer stupidity that is surrounding them. Should we start off with the smaller of the Stupidity Saga stories?
Yeah.
And go to Miami. Of course, it would be a Florida thing.
Yeah.
The Miami Florida. Dolphins.
Guys, of course.
Yeah, come on, Florida.
Damn it, Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Florida is bleeding into the rest of the show.
It really is. So let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. All right.
Okay.
We knew that they were going to be bad, but we didn't know, perhaps, that they were going to be bad to this extent. They suffered a ridiculous blowout loss to the Baltimore Ravens, 59-10. But that's not the story. The story here is that after that loss, reports came out that multiple Dolphins players contacted their agents requesting trades because they didn't believe the coaches and team would actually compete in the 2019 season.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah, it really was shameful for the Dolphins. I've never heard of anything like this happening this early in the season.
I've been watching football.
This is only week one.
We've been watching football for 2 decades, yeah. More than 2 decades. And this is, but multiple players week one requesting trades.
Yeah.
That is, you talk about bad locker rooms, losing control of the locker room. You talk about franchises in disarray. The Browns at their worst were never, I never heard a story like this coming out of Cleveland.
Not until like week eight, or, you know, that's when like a star player would be like, but I don't like this.
One star player. This is just everybody.
Yeah,
this
everybody.
These are the third string players, second string players. Like, you got to get me out of here, yeah. Agents. That is unprecedented and shocking. And Miami should feel bad. They're bad and they should feel bad.
They really should. And that game that they put up, they made freaking Lamar Jackson look like the MVP of the league. He threw 5 touchdowns.
I don't know how to take that. I don't know if that's legit, if that's going to carry on through the season. But, man, they really did make him look like the second coming of Tom Brady or something.
Yeah.
It was just absurd.
Although, on a fun related note, apparently John Harbaugh always has the Dolphins' number. I read this stat on one of the articles I was reading. Apparently John Harbaugh, on average, beats the Dolphins 30 points or something. Something
wow.
Ridiculous. Like, he always seems to have their number.
He just knows what's up
yeah.
in Miami. That's crazy.
Right. But this was a new level. 59-10.
That is appalling.
Also, an act of Scorigami.
Yes, I did see that.
Yep.
I knew you'd bring that up, the Scorigami thing.
Yep, that score has never happened in the NFL.
Harbaugh wanted to make sure. Didn't he go for an onside kick?
No, he went for a fake punt.
Oh, fake. That's what it was, fake punt.
Fake punt.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, man, that's just twisted. Well, the knife had already been twisted. He put a second knife in.
Right.
At that point. And then twisted that one. That's another conversation.
Yeah.
But Miami. Yeah, so this Miami Dolphins exodus, I don't know what's going to come of it. But if they really are looking to tank, I mean, this would be the way to do it. You know, you say, well, the players wanted to be traded, so we traded them. Like, I don't know. Isn't that kind of their goal? Do you think there would be actual resistance here from the Dolphins?
I don't know. I don't know what they're...
Are we going to see a slew of Dolphins players leave in the next few weeks? Like, that would be... If that actually happens...
Maybe, but they need somebody to play the games.
Do they, though?
Yes, they do. They have to at least field the team, yeah. So somebody's got to take the hit. Somebody's got to be there.
Give some practice squad guys a chance.
Yeah, somebody's got
to
be
sign them to,
there.
Like, the bare minimum, whatever, like, the minimum salary is, and just pocket the rest of the cash.
Yeah.
Actually, no, in the NFL, don't you have to spend a certain amount?
Right, there is a minimum.
There's a minimum amount. God, I love the NFL. They think of everything.
But
yeah. The one thing they didn't account for, though, the NFL, was this next topic. I can't even believe that we have to do this. The Antonio Brown conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah.
If there were any doubts remaining that we weren't perhaps in the stupidest timeline, this should solidify it in your mind that this is officially the stupidest timeline.
Yes, this is...
Okay?
This is atrocious.
Mike,
you have the whole list. Go ahead.
So I researched this story. I went back and I looked at the whole timeline of events because it really is, from start to finish, the craziest, most absurd thing that you will have ever seen. So Antonio Brown is...
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
It really is. Because the very first the very first event that kicks this whole thing off is stupid in and of itself. Antonio Brown is an all-pro, perennial Pro Bowl wide receiver. In the offseason, way back when in May, the Steelers traded Brown to the Oakland Raiders for a third and a fifth round pick. That was criminally low value for this player. But we're going to circle back to that at the end of this story. Because at the time, everybody was reeling. I can't believe they did it. Maybe he was really that big of a problem. The simple answer is yes. Yes, he was.
Yes.
As we'll find out. Oakland didn't get that memo. They signed him 3 years, $30 million. Most of that was, I think actually all of that was guaranteed. And Antonio Brown lived up to the hype. He impresses during official team activities. Things seem to be going well. Training camp happens then, July. Reports to training camp with severe frostburn on both his feet.
Yeah.
Apparently, he didn't wear the proper protective gear. You've heard us talk about this previously on the podcast.
Yep.
Just like you heard us talk about this event as well, because Brown then went on to miss 2 weeks seeking treatment for those feet. And then this is when the helmet incident comes up, where his preferred helmet was deemed to be unsafe by the NFL. They wouldn't let him wear it, so he files a grievance. They say no, go get a new helmet. It was a whole big mess. Because of that mess, GM Mike Mayock fined him $40,000, and he had this choice quote. He says it's time for Antonio Brown to either be, quote, all in or all out.
Drama.
So this brings us to the second helmet grievance. Yes, there had to be a second helmet grievance with the NFL.
Yes, not one, but two.
Yeah, he wasn't, because he couldn't accept the fact that the NFL said no the first time. He wanted to try again. And guess what? They said no a second time. And this is when things really started to get out of hand, because it appears this is at the point where Antonio Brown and Mike Mayock were really butting heads. On September 4th, this is just last week, Antonio Brown made an Instagram.
You know this is serious. Mike has the dates.
I have the dates because things happen so quickly that I had to put the dates down and everything that happened on the dates. But September 4th, Antonio Brown makes an Instagram post of the letter from Mike Mayock detailing the two fines, one for $40,000 and one for about $14,000. And the Instagram post reads in part, quote, when your own team want to hate. So
I think I need to add some dramatic music.
Okay, dramatic music. Perfect. So Antonio Brown directly calling out the Raiders. On September 5th, the Oakland Raiders announced that Antonio Brown is suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. This move is a big one. One that I think, looking back on it, fractures that relationship permanently, because it jeopardizes the guaranteed money in Antonio Brown's contract. That $30 million we talked about earlier is in danger here because of this suspension. But then the very next day, September 6th, Antonio Brown is back with the Raiders. He issues an emotional apology. The team removes the suspension for game one. Everything seems to be going well. And then Antonio Brown posts a video of a phone conversation he had with head coach John Gruden, which was really weird. Did you see that video?
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It was like inspirational and black and white. It was really, truly crazy. Apparently he had permission to do it. But the Raiders didn't enjoy that fact.
No.
Because this brings us to September 7th. The climax of this story. The Raiders fine Antonio Brown not just $10,000, not $20,000, not $100,000, but $215,000.
Yes.
For conduct detrimental to the team. This move is the one that voids $29 million of guaranteed money. What does that mean? Antonio Brown is playing paycheck to paycheck. He gets nothing. He gets injured week two. He gets nothing. So Antonio Brown is pissed. He's furious. So what does he do? He makes an Instagram post begging, nay, demanding that the Raiders release him. And then the Raiders actually release Antonio Brown.
They actually did it. They actually could straight up cut
him. They actually did it.
Why?
I cannot believe it. So all in all, this was what, 5 months? 5-6 months of time? Was his whole stint with the Raiders.
Yeah, not a single actual game.
Here's the part where the conspiracy comes into play. Because the move becomes official at 4:01 p.m. At 5:19 p.m., Antonio Brown is confirmed to have signed with the New England Patriots for 1 year, $15 million.
Only, what, an hour and a half later?
Not even an hour and a half. It's an hour and 18 minutes.
Wow.
So people are saying, boy, did he plan this? And the answer is, unbelievably, yes. Because reports came out indicating that Antonio Brown consulted with social media experts on how to accelerate his release from the Raiders.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe this? Get this.
You can't write this stuff.
This is stranger than fiction. The Raiders, apparently, were actually trying to quietly trade him behind the scenes 2 days before releasing him. So the damage had already been done. Mike Mayock and Antonio Brown were never going to come to the table and work this out. Rewind back to the offseason, because this is another key moment here. The Patriots, the ones who signed Brown after he was released, actually tried to acquire him in a trade in the offseason. They offered a first-round pick. The Steelers said no and intentionally took a worse offer from Oakland to avoid trading Antonio Brown to the Patriots. So now people are saying, did Antonio Brown plan the entire thing from the moment he was traded to Oakland? And here's the evidence. I think yes, because the conspiracy worked for everyone. HBO and NFL profit from Hard Knocks and the increased media attention. Oakland with the merchandise sales and the press before their big move to Vegas. Antonio Brown and the Patriots, they get to hook up eventually anyway. And the Steelers get rid of a locker room problem. Literally everyone got some sort of benefit from this long and sordid tale of one idiot and his quest to be the stupidest person in the NFL offseason.
All right, so there you go. We got Alex Jones here instead of Mike Costanzo.
Tell me that isn't a compelling case.
Okay, well, this is, first off, this is unbelievable how things got this far.
I never thought we'd have an entire segment devoted to this.
Yeah. Personally, I'm going to try and use the Bill Maher logic that I don't think Antonio Brown is this smart, you know?
The thing for me is that he consulted with social media experts to expedite and accelerate his release. That's pretty damning right there. And the fact that the Patriots signed him an hour after release, I know teams move quick, but come on now.
Yeah, Bill Belichick probably had his number on speed dial, like ready to go.
I think there was probably conversations before he was released.
Yeah.
The NFL says they're not going to investigate, which I think is just further adding fuel to the fire there.
Yeah, but, you know...
You don't think he's that smart, though.
I don't think Antonio Brown's that smart. He's absolutely delusional and crazy, and I can't believe he still somehow found his way to get to a team that has Super Bowl aspirations.
I can't believe the Patriots come out on top in this.
Yeah.
Like, what type of dark magic are they weaving there?
I'm telling you, they sacrifice children in Boston. You make fun of me. You think it's a joke. I'm telling you, they're actually doing sacrifices,
you know,
in Boston.
30 years from now, there's going to be a 30 for 30 on an NFL conspiracy, and it won't be the Antonio Brown one. It'll be the child sacrifice ring that Bill Belichick is running under Foxborough.
Because everything just seems to work out for him. They always come out A-OK.
That's why I feel like there has got to be some truth to this Antonio Brown intentionally doing this stuff. I think it's one of those cases where it's too stupid to not be planned.
I don't know.
Like, how do you not wear the protective gear and frostburn both your feet? You know what? It's too stupid to be actually stupid. I don't know. But we just had to bring it up. It's been the wildest story. It's been dominating the headlines. You want to enjoy the first week of football, and you can't.
No.
Because
there's this idiot over
in Oakland creating all this chaos. And Antonio Brown didn't even get to play because everything happened so quickly and so abruptly that he legally wasn't allowed to play that first game.
Yeah.
Because this literally happened before.
It happened
the day
literally
before.
Saturday.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre to hear everything just break down bit by bit. When I heard the Patriots signed him, I was just like, of course, Bill Belichick has his number and just freaking just dialed him up the moment he heard they got released.
There had to be something behind the scenes. There just has to be.
Yeah. In the end, I can't believe it, but the Patriots are now as far as I'm concerned, they're automatically in at least the AFC Championship game now.
I mean,
there's no way they don't make it that far now.
You had to pencil them in there
now,
regardless.
Now it's marker.
But now it's permanent marker.
Don't worry. They're going to make it to the AFC Championship.
It's permanent
game.
Marker. On the map
it may,
of the NFL playoffs.
It may actually now be a Super Bowl now. Now that Tyreek Hill got hurt on Kansas City, I don't know if Kansas City can stop him. I can't name another AFC team that would be able to stop him.
Well, it's not going
to
be the Steelers.
No, it's not going
to
be the Steelers.
Because something lighthearted that we have to bring up, the Steelers are still just as stupid without Antonio Brown. There was a play that's going viral.
Before we get to the play.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
The Steelers lost something like 33-3. I happened to tune in that Sunday night just to check up on the score.
Oh, it was bad.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch a little bit of the game. You know, Steelers, Patriots, two, you know, legendary teams. Okay.
Right.
It was 27-0 in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was really bad. And flashback before the week one, and we talked about how Steelers fans thought that getting rid of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown would make their team better.
Yeah.
This is evidence. That is the furthest possible thing from the truth, especially after the play that went a little viral. There's a play in particular where the entire team, the entire Steelers offense, is flagged for a false start when the entire team moves and the center doesn't snap the ball.
Oh, no! We suck again!
It is hilarious. Yep. You have to look it up. The entire team, all 10 other players move, and the center's just sitting there like a statue holding the ball.
And what's funny is he was right.
The center was right?
Yeah, because didn't you hear the referee call? The referee call says false start on everyone but the center. Yeah, the center was right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Big Ben didn't do the right...
He didn't do the right snap count?
The right snap count, yeah.
Man.
That's how bad things are with the Steelers.
Good luck, Pittsburgh fans.
Woo!
In more positive news for Pennsylvania sports teams, let's roll right into talking about the actual good football team in Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Eagles beating the rival Washington Redskins 32-27 on Sunday.
Woo! Yeah!
Oh, man. It was amazing. Rich, God, I got to tell you, two words sum up this game. DeSean Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For my money, that was the best part of it. DeSean Jackson, 8 receptions, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns of more than 50 yards.
He's definitely going to be used in this offense. If anybody thought he wasn't going to be a cog in this offense, boy, he showed everybody wrong.
I mean, we talked before the season about how, you know, he opens up so much. He forces those safeties to cheat backwards, opens up stuff, you know, in the middle of the field. And all those things proved to be true. DeSean Jackson took the top off of Washington. Nobody could keep up with him. Josh Norman couldn't keep up with him. Defenders couldn't stop him. Didn't matter what they did. And Carson Wentz looked amazing throwing to him. What do you think? Do you think he's back to 2017? 28 for 39, 313 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, only 1 sack.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to be 2017. I think he's going to be kind of a new version of that, because in this offense, almost every receiver that he has is a threat.
Yeah,
you know, Jeffrey, Jackson, Aguilar, Ertz, they're all capable of scoring if the defense isn't covering them well. To me, the thing that I think kind of stuck out, though, like a sore thumb, was Carson Wentz didn't get any preseason action.
Right.
And you could definitely tell in that first half. His throws were definitely off. He was thrown a little bit lower than what he should have. I remember there was definitely like 2 screen plays where the running backs had to pick it up
They had to go like behind. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was definitely some rust that was definitely showing from not playing in the preseason, which I think they're going to have to look into next year. Carson Wentz, I know you don't want him to get hurt in the preseason, but you got to at least give him at least a series.
I think
just something to that he has that game experience again.
I think the only reason they did that is because they knew that he was still, I don't want to say he was recuperating from his injuries, but they wanted to take it especially careful this offseason because of the injury last season. They wanted to give him as much time as possible. I think once he knocks that rust off, and we saw it in the second half, he was really confident in the pocket. He was hanging in there a little bit longer than he normally does, but when he needed to slide and escape, he did it with ease. He looked calm. He looked ready. He was going through his reads. He wasn't forcing throws. He was getting the ball out quick. I mean, this was like the tactical precision decision maker that we saw back in 2017. Because remember last year, he looked like uncomfortable at times. He didn't look uncomfortable to me.
No, he was fine in that second half.
In the second half, it started clicking and it looked like it was all coming back. The key now is continuing this week from week. And I think having an opening game like this, where you not only defeat a division rival, but you come back from a 17-point,
17-0
at one point.
In the second
and going
quarter.
Into halftime, it was 20-7. You know, so you're defeating a division rival week one in spectacular fashion in a come from behind victory. That is the confidence boost that Carson Wentz needs, that DeSean Jackson needs, that some of these young players need. to hopefully carry them through the next few weeks until they really get on, you know, get their feet under them and start chugging along just like they did in 2017.
Yeah, I also got to mention this, speaking of DeSean Jackson. Did you hear that at halftime, DeSean Jackson told the team, I know the Redskins, I know that organization. They think right now they have it in the bag. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And if I were a Redskins fan or working in the Redskins organization, I would be totally humiliated at a statement like that, yep. as they should be. But DeSean Jackson's totally right. This was the DeSean Jackson show.
It was.
From start to finish. I mean, his amazing homecoming. I remember his first catch was like 10 yards. The stadium erupted like we just won the Super Bowl again.
You know, yeah, people loved it.
And then he continues on to catch those 250-yard bombs for touchdowns. And then the halftime thing. I mean, all of it was like, it was storybook-esque.
Yep.
You know? Like I said, they just have to continue that. There are a few things that I want to see them get better at. They got to fix that slow start. I think we're both chalking that up on, you know, the starters not playing in the preseason type stuff. The defensive backs, they really struggle with some average receivers.
Yeah.
They need to get better, and I think they will with time as they get more comfortable. I think
that touchdown given up to, was it Vernon Davis?
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was bad tackling. That Sendejo.
That was
man.
Bad. They're gonna get whooped in practice this week.
Oh, they better. You cannot leave your feet and not wrap up. Like Sendejo left his feet and meaning he launched himself and he didn't grab anything.
Yep, that was.
He just put his hands on him. He didn't follow through. They got to coach that out of him real quick if they're going to be putting him back there as a backup safety. I think a lot of these things will get ironed out with time, with coaching, with gelling together as a starting unit. At least I hope so. The one thing that they won't be able to iron out, unfortunately, this is the ugly, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the ugly part. Defensive tackle Malik Jackson suffered a Liz Frank injury.
Bad.
It's confirmed that he's out for the season. He's going on IR.
Yep.
This is devastating. He was the big offseason acquisition. He was supposed to be...
For the defense, yeah.
For the defense. He was going to be that pro bowler next to the all-pro Fletcher Cox. And it's just not going to happen now.
No. So Jernigan is going to have to step up and take over his role. So.
Jernigan's a good starter, but this, you got to admit, it makes you a little nervous. The depth on that line now just isn't there anymore.
Yep.
And in an unrelated note, final thing to wrap up the Eagles week, former Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, we have to talk about this, placed on Jaguars injured reserve after breaking a clavicle in the opening game.
Yeah.
That's really heartbreaking.
I was very disheartened seeing that when that came up on the bottom news ticker.
Yeah,
it's a shame. But, you know, Jacksonville, They're one of those teams. They spend money on key players, but they don't invest in their offensive and defensive lines, and that's what you get. You don't protect your quarterback.
I just feel so bad for Foles because like he had a great drive.
He was looking good.
5 for 8, 75 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he was looking great.
Doesn't get any better than that, you know. It's disappointing, but
yeah. But unfortunately, those are the things that you can't predict. So. Yeah. Our love is still with Nick Foles, and hopefully he gets better and returns for a better 2020 season. But speaking of predictions, that's a good transition into our Fantastic Four picks for week number 2. We got 4 games that we're going to give predictions on that we think you should keep an eye out for. So, Mike, what are we going to talk about for Fantastic Four picks?
All right, first up, we have a battle for the North, the Minnesota Vikings. Are traveling to Green Bay to face off against the Packers Sunday, September 15th at 1 o'clock. Rich, who do you think is going to win this one?
You know, Vikings, they came out in a different package than they're used to compared to last year. I mean, they came out, established the run game over the Falcons, and then let their defense handle the rest. Your favorite quarterback, Kirk Cousins, he only had to throw like 10 times or something. It was almost like he wasn't even there.
Good. He's not going to get the stats this year.
Well, if that keeps up, you're right. I think if they keep it old school, I think they handle the Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers definitely looked rusty in that season opener. It looked like that offense still needs some time to gel with their new head coach, Matt LaFleur. I think Vikings are going to take this one, even though it's at Lambeau.
You know what, though? This is going to sound strange, but I actually like the Packers in this one. What shocked me about their first game was their defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they really showed up. That
only 3 points to the Bears.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bears aren't known for their offense, but man, against a division rival, that is a statement
in their stadium, too.
Yeah. That is a big statement. So normally, I actually hate both these teams, but I feel like I choose teams more and more based on who I hate and dislike. But I got to go with the Packers here. That defense really showed up, and I know Aaron Rodgers is not going to continue to struggle. So it's just a matter of time, and against another division opponent, what better time than to show up in week two?
All right, there you go.
Next up, we have a good old-fashioned shootout. The New Orleans Saints traveling to L.A. to face off against the Rams. This is a Sunday 4:25 game. Rich, who do you got?
I hate to say this.
This is a tough one.
I absolutely hate to say this, but the Saints they won't let last year's blown call go away. Did you hear?
Oh, that the fans. That, oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
The fans dressed up as referees.
I actually hate the Saints.
Yes.
I legit hate that, like, almost as much as Dallas, I hate the Saints.
Yes, but I think that's going to add enough fuel to the fire that I think the Saints are going to do whatever they can to make sure that they trounce, that they absolutely dominate and trounce over the Rams. I think they are just going to go scorched earth. Sean Payton is going to be a complete...
Bounty gate.
Yeah, he's going to be a complete asshole, and he's going to make sure that he does whatever he can to make sure they win this one. So I'm going with Saints.
Yeah, look, you know, I hate to agree here because I dislike the Saints, but you're absolutely right. L.A. is basically an away stadium for the Rams. The New Orleans yeah. Saints are going to come with that fire. Look at what they did to the Eagles. You know, after we beat them, then they came back in the playoffs, and they were so excited to trounce us. That's the nature of that team. And they're going to bring that nature against the Rams. They're going to do whatever is necessary, including Bounty Gate stuff, including... You know, whatever dirty trick Sean Payton wants to cook up because he's a punk-ass bitch. pardon my French with your little LaFleur there, yes. New Orleans Saints. But yeah, I got to go with the Saints here. Go with the Saints.
There we go.
Next up, it is the weekly How's This on Primetime matchup. The Cleveland Browns are traveling to New York to play the Jets.
You know,
this is a Monday night game, folks.
You know that this was scheduled at some point during the hype machine of the Cleveland Browns, because right now Cleveland is dead silent after that opening loss.
Oh yeah. Well, the Jets aren't doing too hot either. The Bills came back against them to win one. So, Rich, do you want me to get a coin out for you to flip, or are you going to actually give us something here?
I think Cleveland should be able to handle the Jets. Baker Mayfield, I think, is still a decent, you know, a very decent quarterback. And he's got, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. And also, they need to rely on Nick Chubb. Feed Nick Chubb. He is a stud running back.
Got
to
give him more.
I think he can go toe-for-toe with Le'Veon Bell in this game. And I think the Jets are going to jet. I think they're going to find a way to mess it up anyway. So yeah, I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Here's the thing. Baker Mayfield, I mean, he threw for over 280 yards. You're right about them needing to feed Chubb. They got to get the ball to OBJ more. The Jets didn't impress. Darnold struggled. Le'Veon Bell was, I mean, I'm looking at his stats here, what, 60 yards on the ground? I know, I think he caught a touchdown pass. He did something, I don't remember. I don't pay attention to these teams because they're not worth my time.
But you're going to be on Monday night.
But if I had to pick one, I got to go with the Browns because I feel like they just have more firepower on offense. So the Jets can only put up 16 points on the Bills.
Yeah.
So what makes you think they're going to put up any more against the Browns? The Browns at least were facing a competent Titans team. So, I'm going to go with the Browns here. And finally, it's our own hometown Philadelphia Eagles. It's a battle of the birds. The Eagles are traveling to Atlanta to face off against the Falcons. We've seemed to have their number the past few matchups, but can that continue at the start of this season, Rich?
I think so. The Falcons actually kind of didn't impress in their opener against the Vikings. They looked stifled by that defense. And I think it's what you said. The Eagles just always seem to have the Falcons' number. They always seem to get that crucial stop in the red zone. They just for some odd reason, one way or another, it's like John Harbaugh and the Dolphins. For some odd reason, we just know how to stop them. So I think this one should be a win for the Eagles. And also the Falcons... Devontae Freeman, you know, it's just him really as the running back. They don't have the two-headed monster when it was him and Coleman now. So I think that kind of makes the Falcons more one-dimensional, that they have to pass all the time and rely on Matt Ryan. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think the Eagles have a good shot of taking this one.
Yeah, we really need our corners to step up in this game, but I do like the Eagles' chances here. I'm looking back at the last few times we played against the Falcons. They've all been really close games, but we've won the last three matchups against them, two of them in 2018 when we were struggling. So logic dictates that now that we're better than 2018, we should be able to continue that trend, and I hope that's the case. I'm going with the Eagles here. I'm feeling the hype. DeSean Jackson is a force to be reckoned with, and he changes the dynamic that we just didn't have last year. So I'm going with the Eagles.
All right. Well, that bodes well for our hometown team then. And there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number two of the NFL season. I'll tell you what. The one good thing about this past week, though, it does mean that football is back.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's definitely something to celebrate. That, you know, our favorite sports league is here to stay now for a while. And, you know, all the ridiculousness, the stories, the fantasy football, Mike's devotion to the NFL.
Yes.
We're all happy with it. But with that, we got to wrap up the sports sampler. And I think I hear Nena knocking, so we're going to have to take a break and welcome her in as we get ready for the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We still have plenty more shows still to come here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. And look who has come strolling into our studio kitchen. Folks, it's Netta coming back on the podcast.
Woo! It's me.
Yay. How you doing, Netta?
I am doing just fine.
Just fine?
Yes.
Is it emphasis on just or fine?
Mediocre. Rich, thanks mediocre. For asking.
Oh. What, is it just the middle of the weekend to you? What? What's the matter?
I just had a horrid temper this week.
A temper?
A rage.
Whoa.
Yikes.
Who's pissing you off?
We have a segment for that.
Yeah, we do have a segment if there's something you want to get off your chest.
We have a rage segment?
Yes, we do. Dad, play the music.
Should we do it? Yeah. All right, impromptu, what's pissing me off segment.
It's Alabama left and Alabama right. Come on, you f***ing let me get your right step right. Get off stage, goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off, f***ing jerk. Get on my nerves.
Yeah, so is there something that's that you need to get off your chest?
Not to put you on the spot, though. But.
Yeah.
I would just say entirety of existence, really.
That old chestnut.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Like, I went to work yesterday, and as the day went on, I was like, I don't want to be here. And then today, as the day went on, I was like, I'm so sick of this work day. And then I drove here, and I was like, why do you drive like that?
Oh, so even yourself is pissing yourself off.
No, I was pissed at everyone else.
Oh, I didn't know who was you in that sentence. Are you saying, like, other drivers?
Yeah, like
other
people.
Oh, okay.
Like the collective you.
Pretty much everybody. You. The collective you is what's pissing me off.
Isn't the collective you really pissing everyone off, though?
Yes.
So there you go.
And I don't know where it stems from. I'll have to talk about it in therapy sometime and work it out.
Okay. All right. Well, you know,
definitely not qualified for that on this show.
I mean, if you don't mind, you know, a handful of people listening to you here on the podcast, you could let it out here. But
yeah, maybe they could, you know, let me know what the source is. Yeah. Let me know, guys.
Can I twist into something that's pissing me off? Since,
sure.
Since we played that clip.
Oh, I know what this is.
I know
be.
Exactly. Yeah. I have to just mention it. I mean, it is entertainment. We are coming up on entertainment.
That's true.
I can't believe there is a segment of Taylor Swift fans that live or die by whether or not her album sell, because there was a news story that Tool, their newest album, their first album in 18 years, a lot of hype for it, it unseated Taylor Swift's latest album, whatever. And all
pissed
these
about it.
Yeah. That's all awesome. These like teenage girls, preteen girls, they don't know who Tool is. They like, I don't know, they're like tweeting and Instagramming. They're like, who's this old band? This old man band, and
it turns out they are the Tools.
Yeah. I like that.
Wisdom here on the podcast.
There you go.
This whole argument, though, is incredibly interesting to me as a completely impartial bystander, because I don't care about either of these musical acts. I don't like Taylor Swift, and I've never listened to Tool. But it boggles the mind how people somehow, you know, get their own sense of self-worth tied up in the commercial success of a celebrity.
Because people, Taylor Swift... Swifties or whatever they're called.
Is that what they're called? Swifties?
Yes.
Yeah,
Swifties?
They're out of control. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it's like, don't you think it's weird that they like, I don't know, like they feel like if Taylor Swift doesn't do well, then it's somehow like a dark mark
but
on
I don't
them
feel
or something?
Like that's a new thing. Like remember when people would like faint at concerts with like the New Kids and like Michael Jackson and like they faint and cry and it's like that is
weird, but I don't think any of those people were ever like, oh, the commercial success of this person does or does not validate my own sense of...
You don't know what they were doing at home.
That's true, I guess.
I have to buy 10 albums so Taylor Swift is number one.
Is that what they did?
Well, that's what they were calling people to do. They're like,
really?
We have to rally.
Come on.
We have to rally the Taylor Swift people or something. I don't know.
That's a great idea. That's hilarious.
Great, yeah. Spend your money on more
and
Taylor Swift
Taylor
CDs.
Swift is like, oh, I care so much about my fans. But yes, also buy 10 albums each. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did she say anything?
Taylor Swift, no.
Yeah.
No, she didn't say anything.
Because she doesn't care.
As long as it sells somewhat, that's all you got to do.
Here's the reality of it is that Taylor Swift is just going to take that spot back in 2 weeks anyway, so I don't understand why anybody's getting all excited about it.
No.
I don't really like the new songs that came out anyway.
What, on like, Taylor
Swift or
Tool?
Okay. Sometimes there's Taylor Swift songs that I'm like, oh, I could like bounce to this. But like, I didn't, any of the new ones that from this album are just like really dumb.
The only song I know is the Shake It Off one. Shake It Off. Shake It Off,
you
and that's all I know.
It. We all know.
That's all I know of it. That's all. I couldn't sing another word if you asked me to.
Just Shake It Off.
There you go. Yeah, I hate Taylor
Swift.
Just
that line over and over again for 3 minutes.
It's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, I hate Taylor Swift. I never really got into all that. On the flip side, though, I did listen to Tool's album, and it was all right. I didn't think it was...
I don't get the Tool fandom.
I don't think it was great for it being the 18-year wait. And
yeah, I think it's another way to try to stay relevant.
Anytime there's a wait like that, for any sort of entertainment, because I remember when Guns N' Roses' Chinese Democracy album came out.
Yeah, oh my God.
That was bad. And in video games, Duke Nukem Forever, that was bad. That was another 10, 12 years. But anytime something takes that long, you know it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be terrible.
Because what have they been doing?
Right, exactly. If it was good, if it had people inspired to finish it, they would have finished it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have waited 20 years to do it. Fact.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mike
with the mic drop.
I have spoken.
There you go.
Start off as you being pissed off, and I was the one that got pissed off.
Yeah, now Mike's pissed off. We're all pissed off
at the collective you. God damn you, you.
But in other news, I'm actually no longer pissed. So
yeah!
Thanks, guys.
Oh,
we did it. See, podcast therapy works. You're welcome. We'll be accepting checks made payable to the Crispy Noodle. $500 an hour is our rate.
There you go.
Fantastic. It's expensive, but worth it.
If you need to let off some steam, yeah, get into contact with us. Maybe we'll make it like a therapy session. Therapy with the Crispy Noodle. Crispy therapy. How about that?
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, there we go. Trademark that immediately. But
with the cum tail and the Wackett station.
Right.
That's the best therapy
there is,
right?
Whoa.
Yeah, a whole bunch of products.
A lot of therapy products. You know, everybody's into the new age healing. Well, we have our own brand of new age healing. So,
yeah.
You know, it's each their own.
There you go.
I feel like we have a real potential here. But anyway.
Yes.
Before we digress too much, Rich.
Yeah, let's officially kick off the entertainment entree with our sounder.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
who are the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
What is that mysterious ticking noise? Kind of catchy. Snipe, snipe, Severus Snipe, 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 Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe, snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe,
Ron!
Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe.
Ron,
Severus
Snape,
Snape, Snape, Severus Snape, 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 Severus Snape,
Harry Potter, Harry Potter,
Severus
Snape, Harry Potter, Harry Potter.
So there you go, the Harry Potter song from Harry Potter Puppet Pals.
Though that is old, man. That is a callback.
I knew you would like that. Actually, that's over 12 years old. Oh,
wow.
My God. That is from 07. the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because there is some slight Harry Potter news that I wanted to mention. Yeah. I don't know if you heard about this, but Warner Brothers has actually bought the full production rights to The Cursed Child, which has led speculation to believe that Warner Brothers is going to produce the sequel,
right.
Curse of Child. And apparently, according to the rumor mill, they are also in talks with the original three to bring them back for this project.
Interesting and also disappointing.
Yes, so that's what I was about to say. It's kind of a double-edged sword. I don't think...
Curse Child was not good.
That's what I heard from a lot of people.
You didn't read it?
I never read it because everyone was shitting on it.
You know what the problem is that it's not the right format for Harry Potter. I mean, J.K. Rowling did book 7, there's like 700 pages. Cursed Child is like 300, it's written in a stage play format, so it's not even 300 full pages. It's, you know, when you break it down into time-wise, it's much, much shorter because it's designed for a two-hour stage production.
Yeah.
So you're trying to cram an entire magical world into a quarter of the pages that J.K. Rowling did, and they didn't adapt it properly.
Okay,
that was my take. It felt rushed. It felt haphazard.
Can I merge my two favorite fan bases?
Because sure.
This sounds like it has like the foundations of like this could be like a disaster, like The Force Awakens or something. I feel like
why is The Force Awakens a disaster?
I feel like Harry Potter is getting its episode 7 or something.
You say that like a negative. Episode 7 for me was a positive. But I know a lot of Star Wars fans disagree.
Yeah, some people didn't like The Force Awakens. I would critique that it was too much like A New Hope, and I thought it was just a rehash of it. And I also didn't like what they did with Han Solo, which I'm wondering
spoiler.
If...
Kill him?
Oops. No, not kill him. No, just kind of made him kind of like a forgotten dad in space or something.
He was old. Harrison Ford was like 97 years old.
Yeah.
But he's like, why is he just... like out in the middle of nowhere, like I don't know.
All right,
I thought like you know that's a different story. My idea is I'm kind of trying to think that like
this is
Harry Potter about to fall into the same danger situation that
yes.
Star Wars is in with Disney.
I would argue it already is sort of with the Fantastic Beasts franchise. A lot of people like it, but it's not particularly good. It's okay. It's fine, which is like a death sentence for entertainment. For me to say it's fine.
I like the second one. I actually like the first one
better than the second one. But
really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Cursed Child was not... It didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, that's what I heard from most Harry Potter fanatics.
I have it if you wanted to give it a read and you can judge for yourself. It goes real quick because I said like it's written like a play, but it's not... It's just weird.
Okay.
It's just... I don't remember much about it, but
did she actually write it? I think...
She consulted on
it. Yeah, she consulted. She didn't actually write it.
Well, that's why it sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a big Harry Potter fan?
A big Harry Potter
fan. Are you a...
I'm not really a big anything fan. Oh, okay. not meeting
You're not a
to,
fan of anything.
Not meaning to talk about my angry stuff. No, I did like Harry Potter. I read all the books. I saw all the movies.
Right.
But here's how, like, mediocre of a fan I am. Not to use the word again. But my friend and her sisters went down to Disney World when the last movie came out.
Right.
And we were going to see the opening of it, like the midnight showing, like the first night it was coming out. And so we got there, and my friend and I unfortunately had to sit in like the opposite of nosebleed section. Oh. Like we were like neck cricket.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst
seats in a theater.
Right. Because we went in too late because all the psychos were already there and all dressed up and all this stuff.
Right.
And so I turned to her right before it comes on, and I was like, do you want to just go drink instead? And she said, okay. And so we said, fuck it, and left. So I was there to see it, but I didn't see it.
So you paid money to get in, and then you just bounced?
Yes.
Wow. Well, yeah, that is being a very non-committal
middle
fan.
Middle of the ground.
Yeah.
Middle ground.
To be fair, I probably would have done something like that, because, yeah, I remember one
time. I wouldn't have wanted it to be ruined.
But I was like, I'll see it another time where I'm not sitting. Like, when I go home, I'll see it, and I'll see it in the theaters, and I can be in a spot that I'd like to sit.
That problem wouldn't happen nowadays, because most seats are reserved now.
Yeah, you would at least have an idea where you're sitting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a time we were in the movie theater, and we were stuck right up in that first front row, and my neck was hurting, like, for
the next couple
days.
They should just get rid of those front rows.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why that even exists.
They want to cram in as many people as possible.
But
it is a really, not even subpar, it's an awful viewing experience.
Right.
The worst movie I ever saw, you were there, Vantage, was it Vantage
Point? Yeah, Vantage Point.
We were first row, but all the way at the end of the first row. So we were like leaning.
So your vantage point was even worse.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was a horrible vantage point.
And
the movie
was horrible too. We paid money for an awful viewing experience of an awful movie.
Yeah.
We were stupid.
That was a horrible movie anyway to begin with.
We were leaning out of our seats over the armrest.
Can I go into the full story? Because it's a horrible movie.
Sure.
Don't go see it. Because you can tell it was a horrible movie because the plot of the movie was the same assassination happens, but they restart it through the eyes of a different character.
Different vantage points. Whoa.
And every time they restarted, everybody in the movie theater went, oh.
There was audible groans.
It was audible groans.
It was bad.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
It was one of the worst movies I think I've ever gone to. It might be the worst movie I've ever seen to go see in a movie theater. Everybody was just dreading, like, every time it restarted the plot. So, yeah, don't go see it. It's bad. It's not even like...
Well, where would I go see it? Like, it's not out anymore, is it?
Yeah. I hope you... maybe...
It's a
Blockbuster.
It currently has a 40 on Metacritic.
Should have lower than that. Should have a 20.
The Austin Chronicle gave it a 20.
Good. That's what it deserves. That was a horrible movie.
Thanks,
it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Austin.
So, yeah, that's the worst viewing experience. But anyway,
a tangent.
Right, to go back.
Nesting tangents.
Warner Brothers buys the production rights to Cursed Child, which may mean that there's going to be a future continuation of the Harry Potter story, which I think is a double-edged sword. I don't think it's good.
I think they need to stop continuing shit that is good and just come up with new stuff.
It's
hard to come up with new stuff sometimes, but like
it's hard.
It could be a semi-offshoot of something where you take one idea and combine it with something else.
You know what it is? It doesn't even need to be new stuff. Some of the best movies and TV series and everything have been based on other works, but like The Godfather is based on a book, obviously. Jurassic Park based on a book. But the key is don't make Godfather 6 and 7 and 8 and 9.
Right.
You know, get off of it at some point.
Yeah.
Like you did Harry Potter. It was great. Enough.
Yeah.
You did Jurassic Park. That was fine. We didn't need 5 sequels.
Yeah.
Or 4, whatever it is. It'll be 2020.
Whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't know that. Well, now I know it.
Well,
just be glad you didn't pay to see those movies like I did.
Well, I got a bad follow-up for you, Mike. Apparently, according to Warner Brothers, Fantastic Beasts 3 is going to be 2021.
That's fine.
And then they're confirming there's going to be two more, one in 2023 and one in 2025.
You see, too much.
That's 5 Fantastic Beasts movies?
That'll bring the Harry Potter franchise up to 13 movies.
Yeah.
And then you add in Cursed Child, that's 4. That's too many. I love Harry Potter. I am a huge Harry Potter fan. It's one of my favorite. I went to the midnight premieres of the books.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was in Barnes & Nobles for when the book came out at midnight. That's how big a fan I was.
You're an OG.
An OG, right. I was into it. I liked Harry Potter before it was cool. It's too many movies. Too many goddamn movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
it
a
waters
lot.
It waters it down.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be 13 movies then at that point.
Yeah. Now you get why I'm angry at existence.
At the collective you.
We're all
you.
Angry!
The collective you.
Yeah. That's the theme of the episode. Yeah. We're just pissed at the collective you.
Yeah, we're all angry at the collective you.
My mom is in the kitchen, and she's looking at us completely aghast that we would dare insult Harry Potter like that. So I'm going to give her the mic. She's pissed off now, too, apparently.
There we go.
Well, apparently, according to you, 13 movies of Harry Potter is too much, but yet Marvel Universe, which has how many movies?
Okay.
That is a mic drop. That's
you
pretty
just
good.
Got schooled by your own mother.
Excuse me. This is my podcast, Mom.
You should never have given her that mic.
Yeah.
Ouch. She's never getting this mic again.
There you go.
No, she makes a fair point. Marvel's put out 22 movies.
That was pretty
so
good.
That was awesome.
I thought I loved your mom before, now it's just...
Yes.
Yeah, Mike, she's beside herself. Look at how happy she is.
Mrs. Costanzo.
She's so happy right now.
Mrs. Costanzo, one of the best supporting characters ever in podcast history.
Wow.
I think it's only fitting then I'll end it on this.
I remember when Michael was a bitch. Now he's still a bitch. Michael's a bitch. He is a bitch. Yeah, you know it. Woo!
So there you go. Mike got owned. Sorry, Mike. I know we have to transition now from from you being owned to now your segment. It's time for the segment where Mike is supposed to let us know, but I don't know. Maybe if he's too... Are you all right over there?
I got it. I'm good. Let's do it.
Then we're going to do it. All right. It's time for the segment where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend with movies and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Listen to me. Stop it. Stop putting things up your butt. Okay? Don't do it.
All right, there we go.
It's timeless advice right there.
Timeless advice.
You know what else? I have more advice for you guys. I got some interesting entertainment releases for you guys to check out. I mean, first you call me a bitch, and then you play the clip of me telling people not to stick things up their butt, and then you expect me to do this whole segment.
Yes.
So in television, we have lots of shows premiering and returning as we head into the prime fall TV season. One big one that you got to keep an eye on is Undone. It's a new Amazon Prime animated drama about a young woman who has a near-death experience and discovers a new and unique relationship with time, which she uses to find out the truth about her father's death. It's described as a surreal and visually stunning... I can't read right now. This new adult animated drama, quote, explores the elastic nature of reality. So there we go.
Are you okay, Mike?
Jeez.
I hate the collective you, but mostly just rich you.
All right, I'm into that.
Undone... Undone or me hating rich?
What? I didn't do anything.
You're the worst, so that's what you've done.
No, it's fine.
I haven't done anything.
No, it's good. Undone is good as well. I'm really looking... No, you know what it is? I'll explain what happened. Is I deleted something from the digital version of my rundown, but I'm reading off the print one. So I'm just reading in the next section, which doesn't exist because I cut it.
Okay, good job, Mike.
Anyway.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, well, a little bit of behind the scenes inside baseball stuff there. Video games. Borderlands 3 is coming to PlayStation 4. That's a term that they use when you talk about behind the scenes stuff. Borderlands 3 is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this Friday. This long-awaited third game. Stop laughing.
Should we stop and start all over? Like the entire podcast?
I just love the inside baseball stuff with Michael Costanzo.
Oh, God. This is... Borderlands 3 is the long-awaited third game in the FPS action RPG series that made its name for the hundreds of millions of randomized weapons and an absurd sense of humor and style set against an alien world's wasteland. Players can go it alone or team up with three other players, either online or locally, to tackle the campaign in four-person co-op. It's a blast. I love the first
two. Is that really funny, Mike?
is what really funny.
I don't know. You're just laughing while you're
reading. I'm laughing because Rich is laughing. He's cracking me up over there. Borderlands 3 already has an 85 on Metacritic, so go check it out. That's Borderlands 3 coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC out this Friday. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, wow. Mike. Thank you.
I barely made it through that.
Thank you for that inside baseball knowledge with this week in entertainment.
I'm dying.
I'm going to have to remember that. Inside baseball.
That's a term. Isn't that a term that you talk about behind the scenes stuff? Inside baseball?
Not inside baseball. I think you...
No.
Inside
maybe,
the plate? Is that
no,
what you're thinking
no,
of?
No.
Not behind actually the inside scenes? Baseball. You're not going inside a baseball.
No, that's not...
You're thinking inside the plate? Like, is that what you're thinking of?
Okay, so it's a term that you can use to mean esoteric or highly technical. So it's a metaphor referring to, like, the minutia or detailed inner workings of a system. It's a metaphor. It's an idiom that are only interesting or appreciated by
Pitch
insiders.
Pitch doesn't know what an idiom is.
Yes, and I don't believe you.
I looked it up. This is Google. If you disagree with me, you got to take it up with Google.
I disagree with Google.
Okay. All right. So Rich has a vendetta against Google and Wikipedia.
Yes.
Anyway.
We got some actual entertainment news here to get to with streaming.
Yeah. A lot of streaming news hitting the headlines this week. First up, just going to hit this one real quick. There's a new contender entering the ring in terms of television streaming services. Apple TV Plus was revealed at the Apple keynote earlier this week. It's launching November 1st. It's beating Disney Plus to the punch. Disney Plus, of course, is releasing on November 12th. The big news, though, is that Apple TV Plus is launching at $4.99 for a family subscription. That would make it the cheapest streaming option on the market, beating both Disney Plus and the Hulu ad-supported streaming service. But the other big news is that everybody gets a year free with the purchase of any new Apple device. So that's a huge...
Oh, that's right up your alley.
It's right up my alley. But also what this means is that hundreds of millions of iPhone and Apple Watch and iPad and Mac users are going to automatically be part of that service day one. Every time somebody upgrades their phone, they're gonna get that 1 year free subscription. It's going to give them a huge install base for this new service, and they're really gunning for Netflix and Disney Plus here. They have big name talent headlining really big, ambitious shows. They debuted a trailer for a new science fiction dystopia starring Jason Momoa. They have a show called The Morning Show starring Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and Steve Carell. I mean, they're really pulling out all the stops. They're coming in under cost, they're coming in earlier, they're coming in with huge star power. Could this be a disruptive force in the streaming TV market? Or is this one of those things that's one of those Apple services that people don't really pay much attention to, like when they did the music social network thing they tried to do?
Yeah, Apple Music or something, whatever.
It was this weird thing they had in their music app that nobody used.
Yeah.
Ping or whatever, I don't remember.
You know, I hate to say this, and you're probably going to attack me as an Apple hater, but I feel like this is just adding to the crap of all the subscription services, and for me, that's almost like another piece of evidence that's like I'm going to be sick and tired of just like trying to sign up for all these streaming services. You're going to end up getting people to go back to pirating, is what's going to happen when you get all you know. Think you're going to have this, you're going to have Netflix, you're going to have Hulu, you're going to have
Add it all up, it's like $80, $90 for all these streaming services.
Yeah, you might as well just get cable.
That's what a lot of the articles are saying, is like now it's pushing people back to basic cable because it's the same cost.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think this is going to be as stellar as Apple thinks it's going to be.
I'm more excited for Disney Plus. I've already signed up for Disney Plus, so I might be biased. But I saw the trailers for the Apple TV Plus. They looked interesting. But it is one of those things where I have to wait and see, because Apple's not in the content creation side of things. You know, their services, their hardware, their software. But what does a TV show that's produced by Apple look like? You know, are they going to know what makes... I mean, their commercials are very flashy, but it's one thing to do a commercial and hire an outside ad agency than to do an hour-long, you know, 12-episode drama.
Right. Well, we won't know until it comes out, but I agree with Pitch that I think it might be a little...
Is it too much?
I think it's too much.
Yeah. It's weird, too, because Apple doesn't strike me as a content creator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's
this like, obviously...
It's like when YouTube... Now, I know you'd like the Cobra Kai thing, but when YouTube said, we're going to do, you know, content creation, I was like, oh, I don't know. You're more about content hosting. You know? It's more a service. It's not...
It's like everyone's hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people said the only reason they even considered of buying YouTube Red was only because of Cobra Kai. That was it. If they didn't have that, nobody would buy it.
Yeah, and to be fair, that's how these streaming services start out, is they're one big show or movie or whatever it is. But... they have to have more content to keep people on. That's what made Netflix and Hulu and Amazon successful, is that they showed that they could keep churning out high quality content at a regular clip.
Yeah.
You know, and YouTube, these service providers, the YouTubes, the Apples, Facebook has Facebook Watch now, which is a thing apparently.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because they're turning a podcast into a show, and I'm like, Facebook, what's up? I mean, we got...
yeah, we got a show.
Could you imagine it'd be the worst show ever?
But people would watch it.
People would watch it, yeah. But, like, these service providers, they don't strike me as content creators.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's just because we're biased, because we're so used to Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, that we just don't know, but... it just seems different for whatever. I can't put my finger on it.
Right. It's going to be weird to see the first Apple TV original or whatever they're going to label it as.
Yeah.
So
we'll keep you guys posted in November when it launches, how things are going. I'm probably not going to sign up for it unless I buy a new Apple device around that time.
Which Mike probably will.
I'm looking to get a new laptop. This thing's like 9 years old, so it's on death's door.
What happened to the other one?
I didn't like it.
He doesn't like Windows.
No, I liked Windows fine. What I didn't like... is it was weird, and I couldn't use it.
It was weird. Mike couldn't handle the Windows.
It's probably because it didn't work well with the Wacket Station.
Well, first off, I don't use the MacBook Pro on the Wacket Station.
Ooh, and that's
if you notice, all my monitors are gone now. So
because I guilted you out of the Wacket Station?
Well, no, because I had to give the work monitor back to work.
And it was, I'm not going to make a joke.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, moving quickly along.
Moving to Netflix.
We have other... I don't even want to know where that joke was going. We got Netflix news, though. Netflix is making the news cycle recently with two big stories ruffling feathers. Again, we have to revisit the classing streaming show and TV debates. There were some false rumors circulating that Netflix could be moving to a weekly release schedule, and this prompted some outrage and some fears about transitioning away from the binge model. Basically, what happened is Netflix is coming out with two shows, The Great British Baking Show and hip-hop competition show Rhythm Plus Flow. So The Great British Baking Show is licensed and airing simultaneously with UK TV, so they can't drop it all at once. And the other show, Rhythm Plus Flow, or is it Rhythm and Flow?
It's not Rhythm Plus Flow. There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Well, the
no,
only reason I ask is because there's a plus sign. That's how they write the titles, with a plus sign, not an ampersand or an and.
I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll say Rhythm.
There's no way someone's out there that's like, welcome to Rhythm Plus Flow.
Yeah.
Think of how stupid that sounds.
You know what? Saying
is it. Is this rap and calculus together?
Yes,
but
it is.
Is it a UK show?
No, it's US.
Okay. Then it's an and. It's an and. Okay. A-N-D.
I'm just saying, it's written with a plus. It sounds weird. Okay. Rhythm and Flow is using a traditional reality TV structure, so they need that weekly suspense for results and to capture that shared viewing experience, you know, being crucial to the format. But people are acting like this is, you know, like some extraordinary thing, but other Netflix shows have already followed this release format, such as weekly topical shows like Patriot Act. But what I just can't believe, there's actual outrage and panic over this, the idea that Netflix could be switching to a weekly release schedule instead
and
of binge.
And who cares? Wait. You have to wait.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
God forbid, yeah.
This gets back to my whole problem that I had with it last month, a couple months ago.
This is actually a follow-up, on the topic that we discussed at the podcast festival.
It just drives
festival.
Me nuts. It's like the... It's going to get worse and worse, you know, like people are just going to be more and more impatient as time goes on with different things. And it's like, God forbid we sit back and we wait a week for another episode.
Yeah. You know, I have to say that I like the binging thing because I can get it as soon as I want it, whenever I want it. But there is something that you miss out a little bit. I really appreciate, you know, like shows that I currently follow, like Better Call Saul and The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones when it was still airing. When you get to read the discussions online and talk with people and, you know, you could go into work and be like, hey, did you see the latest episode?
Right.
when there's a streaming thing, Rich will be like, did you watch the whole season? I'm like, no, I only got through five episodes.
And then,
like,
you can't talk about it.
Right, then you can't talk about it. Yeah. And you lose that quote-unquote shared viewing experience. But Netflix actually did studies 5 years ago about this on the quote-unquote binging model. They took 20 shows across 16 markets and determined how many episodes in it would require a viewer to watch to get quote-unquote hooked and finish that season. They found out that it took viewers on average 4 episodes to get into Better Call Saul and 6 episodes to get into Mad Men. And so they argue that using the binge model, people are more likely to get into the shows and stick with them. They found that after those hook episodes, that 70% of viewers went on to finish that season. So, I mean, maybe there is some science to the binging model that it promotes actually finishing shows. But then again, you have other things like Hulu's doing just fine with their weekly release schedule of Handmaid's Tale.
Well, so, I mean.
Well, what?
Well, I don't. I mean, I have my own opinions about the latest season, but
it
had
quality,
nothing to do
the quality
with
of the season.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with whether I could watch them all. Actually, if I was going to watch them all at once, I would have shot myself in the head. So I'm glad that
I liked
I'm
it.
Almost
you didn't,
glad.
You didn't like it?
We'll talk. We'll talk.
Okay.
Okay. There you all go. Right. Apparently, Nana's a no on season three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were some elements that near the end it was like, all right, that's a bit much, but yeah, I can't believe that people were outraged and panicking over this.
Yeah, I think it's just people are used to instant gratification. Mm-hmm. They're used to being able to get stuff on demand when they want it. And the moment you're even thinking about taking it away from them, yeah, everybody's up in arms.
Yeah.
Which is why the collective you blows.
Yeah,
again, the theme
go.
Of the episode, the collective you. Well, here's another knock against the collective you. Canadian theater chain Cineplex is barring Netflix and Amazon movies from its theaters for the Toronto International Film Festival industry screenings. This is basically preventing the streaming films from being shown at the main theater event hosting the film industry and film critics, forcing them to relocate. They're not actually banned from the festival. They just have to relocate. To give you an idea of what this relocation means, the main theater has 14 screens and 4,500 seats. It's the primary venue for the screenings. But Netflix and Amazon...
Do they call it TIFF?
TIFF, yeah. Like the image format, yeah.
Yeah.
The Netflix and Amazon...
TIFF. Here we go.
That's what they abbreviate it to. It's both TIFF. An image format and a film festival.
Great. TIFF.
But Netflix and Amazon are forced to show their movies at another venue that only has 6 screens, and the theaters only hold between 500 and 40 people per theater. So they're clearly... You know, they're not banning it from the festival, but they're essentially...
Handicapping it.
Right. Severely handicapping it. There's like, here's this amazing theater that has all these screens and all the critics are going to be here. But you guys got to show it at that little tiny theater that nobody's going to be at.
Yeah, good luck. Right. And you gotta just put your neck up to see the damn screen.
Exactly. You're going to sit in the front row. The Cineplex spokesperson says, quote, there are hundreds of fantastic films screening as part of this year's festival. And with all those options, we ask that our screens feature titles from studios who understand and appreciate the importance of the theatrical release model. The theatrical release model, of course, referring to theater chains insisting on a 90-day window before the movie's release elsewhere. Netflix tried to compromise, saying they could do 45 days, and the film industry said, nope, theater chains don't want to go less than 75 days as an exclusive in theaters. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Should these films be barred? I feel like these are unnecessary restrictions being placed on these films.
They're arbitrary restrictions just to please the cinema owners and the people behind the film festival. That's what it is. And
it's film versus streaming, basically. Like
it's
streaming.
It's old versus new. It's like the old guard holding on to their way. And it's like, ooh, I don't like this change. That's what I imagine. You know, tiny little white guys in suits pounding their feeble fists on.
I'll give you something tables. To cry about, eh?
And for some reason, what is that accent?
I was trying to do the boot, eh?
Oh, Canadian. Oh.
Yeah, Toronto.
Yeah, that didn't sound like Toronto.
It sounded like you were doing a Peaky Blinders type thing.
Your
Peaky Blinders and your Canadian were very similar. I was like, what is happening?
Well, they go back and forth a lot.
It's very easily confused. Yeah,
right.
The Irish and the Canadian. Right. Very similar.
Getting the goons. How you doing? Hey. it's similar.
But you make a good point, though, with your weird accents, is that the film industry is acting very mafiosa here, where they're strong-arming these streaming services out of these film festivals.
Yeah.
You know, we heard about this at Sundance. We're hearing about it at the Toronto International Film Festival now. I think it's a shame that the delivery method should not dictate the quality or the perceived quality of a film, because you know there's going to be people like, oh, well, this didn't get shown at the main venue. It must not be that good. And that's a shame. It could be fantastic stuff. Look at The Irishman.
Yeah.
Coming out soon. I know you're probably really looking forward to
I
that.
Am.
That's getting a limited theatrical release. It's only like, I think it's like 20 days in theaters before it hits Netflix. But do you think that this negatively impacts films like that? Like this perceived, well, the film industry, Hollywood, quote unquote, isn't behind it. So,
well, I mean, it affects films when they're trying to win the awards and trying to go to film festivals and everything like that. But in the broad scope, I don't think it should hurt them that much. I mean, I'm going to still find a way to see The Irishman.
But you're into film though. I'm talking about casual viewers though.
You know,
does this hurt people browsing Netflix? Like, oh, well, that was the film that they knocked out of Toronto Film Festival, or that didn't get any.
Do you think a casual?
How the hell is someone going to know that?
Yeah, do you think a casual film fan would know? Oh, I mean, that wasn't at the film festival.
I mean, maybe not. I mean, it's getting some coverage in some of the entertainment blogs. So if they follow entertainment, you don't think so?
No. Especially like if you're into film festivals, then you would know what is going to be there or what would be there. Like, you wouldn't base it off of the fact. Like, you could. In my opinion, I would see through the bullshit and be like, oh, okay, just because it got knocked off the list doesn't... It's got knocked off the list because it's Netflix.
Yeah.
Not because it's a shittier movie.
But, you know, I think it does affect it because I never hear Netflix, other than Roma recently, you never hear about the Netflix and Amazon movies get talked up that much unless it has the theatrical release.
Right.
I mean, you know, like Manchester, whatever, what was it? Manchester by the Sea. Yeah, and Roma, like they had those brief theatrical releases, but other than that, like a lot of these films don't get talked up.
Well, the only Netflix movies I know, I think, are horrible.
So
I don't take Netflix seriously. Like, I mean, no offense to Netflix, but I don't really take them seriously as a film.
But is that a great example of the disservice of the lack of coverage? Maybe we just don't know the good ones.
Well, then that's Netflix's job to put them up there.
Do you think Netflix should swallow their pride and be like, sure, 90 days in theaters?
I mean, if they
want to... So they just do it?
If they want to have the exposure at the film festival, at the end of the day, they have to play by the film festival's rules. But
yeah,
I think it's just, you know, it basically just comes down to whether or not they want to do it or not. If you don't, then don't complain.
I feel like Netflix... Well, one, the film industry is doing them a disservice, and two, Netflix is shooting themselves in the foot by not budging at all.
Everybody's wrong in this scenario.
Everybody sucks.
Yeah, and everybody
again,
sucks.
Again, the collective you. God, you,
yeah.
You in general.
Mm-hmm.
There you
That's
go.
The theme of the show, you.
Yeah.
Go, girl.
An angry fish shaking, what?
You go, girl.
Go, girl.
I said, you go, girl.
Yeah, snap.
They're
snap,
fine.
Right?
You go, girl, and say, okay. But the other collective you, no. Bad. Fire, bad.
But, all right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's
the entertainment entree. A lot of news. We had a lot of streaming news. We had a lot of haphazard, random tangents, nesting tangents, if you will.
Yes, but all with a singular final rule, just boo to the collective you.
That's right.
So that will end the entertainment entree, but stick around because I've got a week's batch of new odd news that we need to talk about in the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. We still got plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
We'll be right back.
right, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We have covered the sports and the entertainment news, and we're moving right along into our third and final segment. Nana, how you doing over there? You still angry at the world?
No, I'm just kind of sleepy at this point.
Uh-oh.
So sleepy, I need something world to wake me up.
That's right.
Oh, well, that's perfect timing, because this next segment is one of our favorite segments. It's time for the Whack the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
Woo! That's right, everybody. Shout for joy, because it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and Nana and I react to the news. We don't know what's about to happen because all these stories are kept hidden from us. So I forgot my spiel.
Joy.
Okay.
Passion.
Yes.
Fun, excitement. It's all here, the non-fortune cookie odd news. Let's dive right into it. Rich,
yes.
What do you got for us?
So I'm just
all over the place this episode.
You should just leave.
I should just pack up.
Yeah.
You did a good job of pitching it over here with the transition.
Yeah. I think Nana's trying to move in at number two spot. There you go.
I need your job.
It doesn't pay anything, so you can have it.
Oh, okay.
Let's get started.
Yeah, let's get started. I have the news here, and Nana and Mike will react to the news. First story here, let's go to Maryland.
Okay.
Haven't had a story in Maryland.
Some Maryland crab cakes?
Yep.
You know, I'm not a fan of crab cakes.
Okay.
What?
That's good a job. Great story.
What a transition, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Back to you, Rich.
Thank you for that news bulletin, Mike.
I'm a regular anchor.
Yeah. But unfortunately, you know, you can do all the boisterous news and proclamations you want to do, but don't mess with this elderly woman from Maryland. A 73-year-old woman in Maryland has been charged with killing her 82-year-old neighbor with a brick, according to cops.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
This started so lighthearted, and then it turned to brutal murder. What happened? I wanted to talk about crab cakes. You're like, no, she murdered him with a brick.
Brick to the face.
Brick.
Jesus Christ. That got dark fast.
Yep. strap in. This is what we got here on the odd news. On Sunday morning in the town of Bladensburg?
I'm Rod Burgundy.
I am Rod Burgundy, yeah. Bladensburg, I'm going to go with that. This is a town northeast of Washington, D.C. That's when Chung Young Oh is accused of striking Hua Cha Pak with a brick.
You love the story,
I don't think
don't
you're
you?
Right. I don't think you're right.
What, just anything? I don't have any of the names right. I don't know. I'm reading what it says here. Chung Young Oh. And so she's the one that's accused of striking Hua Cha Pak multiple times with a brick. She then called 911 to report the murder. When police arrived...
Well, at least she did the right thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
When police arrived, they found that the woman was dead in the garden in the back of the building.
Wait, the woman was dead? Wait, two women?
Yeah, it's two women, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I know it's tough. Chung...
We were like, plot twist.
Chung Young Oh. Chung Young Oh is the killer, and Hua Cha Pak...
How are you supposed to tell? I don't know.
Yes, is the victim. NBC Washington reports that the killing occurred in a senior living facility.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's even better.
Yeah, just pure, just, yeah, old women fighting.
They're very cutthroat over those card games.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
She's just helping her along. I mean, if it's wow. old folks home, yeah. she's on her way out in life right. anyway.
Like, embrace the darkness.
We're accelerating the process.
Exactly.
Yes. The neighbors told the station that the woman, that the women were longtime friends, but they're
apparently
friends,
not that close of friends.
Yes. But their friendship turned sour after Pack borrowed $3,000 from O to purchase a car and never paid her back.
That's it.
Oh, you bitch. Yeah, you can't do that.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
I mean, really, you can't take it with you, Wong Young Pack.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yes. It has to be the way you pronounce it, because there's only one syllable words. Chung,
what?
There are only one syllable words.
You still hung up on the pronunciation.
Would you keep
Chung
going?
Chung Young Oh, that's the name of the girl. Chung Young Oh.
Where am I looking?
Bottom.
At? Oh, bottom.
Chung Young Oh.
Chung Young Oh. Yeah, he's got it right.
Yeah, thank you.
And Hua Cha Peck.
Oh, you're chatting a Hua.
Hua. Well, it's H-W-A. How would you say that?
Hua.
How are you pronouncing it?
Hua.
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 Hua. I don't know.
Keep going.
Chung Young Oh.
I'm just loving this.
Chung Young Oh is charged with first and second degree murder, and she's being held without bail.
How can you be charged with both?
Yeah, wait, what?
I don't know.
Because first degree is with intent, and then second degree is...
dot, dot, dot. Okay.
Anybody? Anybody?
I don't know what the different degrees mean.
Hold on.
First degree is the worst because it's with intent. Like, it was premeditated.
Okay, so first degree that. Murder requires that a defendant plan and intentionally carry yep. out the killing, whereas second degree murder requires that the killing either be intentional or reckless and occur in the spur of the moment.
Oh,
see, that doesn't make any sense. How can you plan it out ahead of time if it's in the spur of the moment?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Maybe they're just doing both to cover their bases. You know, it's like when you go to the craps table and you bet both, or you go to a roulette table and you bet both red and black.
You can't be charged with both, though.
Right. So they're just putting it out there and hopefully one sticks. Worst lawyers ever.
Maybe.
I don't know, but that's what it says in the news report. She's being charged with both first and second degree murder.
My SVU history does not agree with that.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to at least figure out which degree it's supposed to be. But yeah, don't mess with Chung Young Oh. If you owe her money Maryland, you better pay her back, because she's gonna come at you with a brick, or she's gonna find someone else to come at you with a brick.
Wait, where'd she
Which
get
would
the brick?
Be second degree or yeah. third degree?
I don't know. She probably had a brick somewhere.
It's an old folks' home.
Yeah,
ooh, she I just got... had a stray brick.
It's probably just falling apart.
A stray brick. Ooh.
The building that they're in is just literally crumbling. There's bricks
no,
just
not...
strewn across.
No,
the...
why are you taking it to that level? Maybe there was a loose brick somewhere,
and she pried it out of the wall. I mean, that's pretty intense.
That's definitely first degree.
That's definitely first degree murder.
Unless you're in a rage and you turn around and you see that one of them is loose. Which
thank
is
God this
degree.
Brick wall happens to be loosened
yeah,
already.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Or maybe they play.
I think she kept a skull cracking brick in her room.
I think they play old people games with bricks.
With like a what? Really sad version of bocce ball.
Yes.
They're just hurling bricks on the ground.
Yeah, like shot put for bricks.
I mean, it sounds logical to me.
Thanks.
Don't make me into my ultimate form!
Or maybe she's just the Hulk and just rips the brick out.
Maybe,
which
yeah.
is second degree.
Okay.
Right. So that's why it's first and second degree murder, because no. the wall, I still can't figure out why.
I can't either.
I yeah. looked at law...
Any lawyers out there
Law
at
Stack
us.
Exchange, and it didn't say anything.
Yeah.
They need to add us.
I think they're just trying to cover the bases. Just one
why didn't they throw third degree murder in there, too, then?
Because they know it's not third degree.
Because third isn't as important.
Yeah, it's not that important, yeah. Get out of here with this third degree murder. We're going right for first.
I think it's
Maybe
weird
second.
That they did. I think it's weird they did both.
Yeah. All right, let's move to our next story here, going to Louisiana in this next story.
Do you have any thoughts about Louisiana food before we...
Popeyes. Yeah. I tried Popeyes for the first time, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we did the
it was good.
Chicken thing.
I never had Popeyes before.
What does that have to do with Louisiana?
Isn't that
Louisiana
like...
Louisiana
Yeah. That's their catchphrase thing.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. Well, what do you got for Louisiana?
I don't know, like the jambalaya...
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Jambalaya from Nana.
So what's the story about Rich? Is every story just going to start with an awkward recommendation of a random food? Like, this one's from Wyoming. It's like, I don't know, wheat.
Wyoming wheat.
So we got Maryland crab cakes and Louisiana gumbo or jambalaya.
Jambalaya. Crab cakes was really awkward.
Right. So Louisiana in this story. An elderly Louisiana woman has been arrested for allegedly arranging for drugs to be smuggled to her son in a county jail, according to cops.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
She's just looking out for her kid.
Through his butt.
No, it definitely
was in somebody's butt.
It was
at some
in his
point.
Butt.
Cops charged that 75-year-old Judy Futch twice delivered suboxone.
Suboxone.
Thank you.
Suboxone.
Rich just learned how to read before this podcast.
No, I got to tell you, last week we had a story where it was talking about a supermarket.
Yeah.
And Rich thought the supermarket was called Superlo.
And it was super low.
But it was super low.
Wow. Yeah. Wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, eh?
Yeah. I still consider Superlo a great store. Superlo. Wonderful Superlo. I come, I help you cook a dinner, and you know, it's all good.
He's going on and on about this Superlo. I was like, what is Superlo?
It's the same thing as rhythm plus flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to have that rhythm plus flow.
Yeah. All right, so it's Suboxone?
Sure.
Just go on.
Suboxone.
It was in his butt, is what happened.
She tried to deliver Suboxone to an inmate job site outside of the Ouachita Correctional Institute so that inmates would later deliver the narcotics to her son, 46-year-old Derek Fuch. A criminal investigation was opened last week when deputies discovered Suboxone at one of the inmate workers' jobs. When confronted by cops after they reviewed surveillance footage, they went to Futch. Futch denied involvement in any smuggling. When shown physical photos of the surveillance of her carrying a large bag at the job site, Futch claimed, "Oh no, that's impossible. I was just delivering hamburgers for the inmates."
What?
And that's why you put it up your butt.
Of course, yes. Inmates. Hamburgers.
Yeah. I mean, Nana's got a point. It would have been better to put it up the butt in this case.
Anyone who's anyone as a criminal should know it goes in your butt.
Your prison pocket.
Yeah, the prison pocket. Yeah, there you go.
Run while there's still time. Everyone is smoking crack, but it's only a matter of time before they're overwhelmed. Run while you can.
So
this sounds like way more effort to get drugs than it's worth.
Right. After the investigation team found no records of hamburgers being distributed that day, Judy Fuch subsequently confessed to buying the drugs and bringing it to the job site at her son's directions. Fuch said she did it twice and thought nothing was wrong with helping her son. Oh, yes.
Really?
I'm just helping my son. What's wrong with
this? She's 75.
Yeah,
these excuses are stupid. Because if there was nothing wrong with it, you would have just mailed it to him. The fact that you have to circumvent systems in order to smuggle it in there should clue you into the fact that it's wrong by its very nature, right?
And actually, 75 isn't that old because my parents are 70.
Yeah,
and
my dad's 70.
Imagining them 5 years from now. They would know what's going on.
They would definitely know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't buy her excuse.
All right, fuck you, Madam Fuge.
Yeah.
Right.
And fuck Fuge.
And if you're going to do it, actually bring hamburgers. I expect actual physical hamburgers.
Yeah. A little bit of hamburger with your drugs.
Yeah. If you're going to blame this on hamburgers, then at least provide the hamburgers. Yeah.
Exactly.
Try to make the alibi a little bit more believable.
She could have put it in the hamburgers.
Yeah, there you go.
Scooped out the bun.
Yeah. Right.
The way the anorexics do.
God, why are people that would make good criminals not criminals? Like, we're thinking of so many great ideas. You know, put it up the butt, put it in the burger.
Yeah.
Just do them and then poop them out.
There you go.
Even better.
Exactly. Is that how it works? Just pumping out, I don't know, cubes of drugs? How does that work?
Back in my day, that's how it worked.
Yeah, you ate it and then pooped it out. You're like, you want some drug poop? Poop drug?
Drug poop drug? DPD? Drug poop drug?
Drug what about drug? DP?
DPD?
Don't say DP.
Okay. So Judy Fuchs was arrested yesterday on felony conspiracy and narcotics possession charges.
Now she can be in prison with her son.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's a heartwarming reunion, yeah, guys. This is a Hallmark movie.
Sweet. You're absolutely right.
This is wholesome. This is a wholesome
story. They're going to be in jail together.
Yeah. I'm pleased. Joy.
Joy.
Are you just going to shout your emotions? Joy. Rage.
Well,
joy.
You said shout for Joy earlier. So I've been shouting for her.
I get it.
There you go.
I totally didn't pick up on that.
It's okay. No one else did.
I know. It's all right.
On a follow-up, Derek, who's already serving a 2-year sentence for narcotics possession, was rebooked on the same conspiracy charge filed against his mother and will now have a longer sentence to serve in prison.
Shocker.
That's what happens.
So there you go. Now you got to wait longer to go get your drugs again.
All this for drugs.
Yeah. Bad move.
You know, I've watched Orange is the New Black. You could probably get drugs a lot easier in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
According to the show, everybody has it all the time.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Oh, well, actually, you know what? This is a good transition because there's another easier way to get drugs in our next story.
Ooh.
And of course, it's a Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Well, Hurricane Dorian right now is
getting... speaking of Florida, I have eaten alligator once.
Okay.
I thought we were going to talk about food at the start of each... You know, you guys...
Good job.
It's good. You've had alligator, too. You had alligator jerky. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did. We tried it. Yeah,
yeah, I've had alligator cock.
Wow. And how did that taste? Scaly?
Full.
All right, and what's the story about Rich?
Okay.
I've got balls of steel.
So as Hurricane Dorian right now is hitting the coast, the storm apparently sent more than just wind and rain to Florida because it's apparently causing bricks of cocaine to actually wash up on the beaches.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That's a very Florida thing to happen.
Yes.
It must be like a holiday for them.
It's like a snowstorm.
It's free drugs. Mother Nature brought us free drugs.
Yes! This is the best day ever.
They're so excited in Florida right now.
It's good. It's a good day.
Yeah, it's a good day in Florida when drugs wash up on the beach.
On Friday, a bag containing 15 bricks of cocaine.
Now, how big is a brick of cocaine?
A kilo.
Now, how big is a kilo for us that don't know the metric system?
It's a kilogram.
Wow.
Just saying you, in different ways, is it going to give us an idea?
I don't know, but it is estimated to be worth $28,000.
A kilo, wow, a kilo is 2.2 pounds.
So
it's an actual brick.
That's a lot of lot of drugs.
It's probably a brick size.
Yeah.
It's probably a brick size brick. Yeah.
And it's worth $28,000 if you
find
one.
You're the one who didn't know what the size of a brick.
Well, you can, anything that's like rectangular could be a brick of something, and bricks come in different sizes too, you know. They do.
Let's hear it.
Different
sizes
name
of bricks.
Them.
What do you mean, name them? Name the different sizes of bricks?
Is there a Jolly? Is there a Danny? Is there a...
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Oh, God. Go back to the story.
So we have brick types. There are standard, modular, Norman, and Roman.
Roman, of course.
So the Roman are 3.5 by 1.5 by 11.5. That's okay. A big brick.
Mike is just reading.
That's what she said.
So, first off, there's this is on Cocoa Beach? Is this
Cocaine Beach.
Cocaine Beach.
Well,
yeah,
now
actually,
it is, yeah.
That makes sense.
They need to change the name now.
Right.
I think it's legally required in Florida.
Yes. So a Florida man found 15 bricks of cocaine washing ashore on Cocoa Beach on Friday. After
that's 33 pounds of cocaine.
There you go.
So it's like a small child.
a small child of cocaine. There
How much
go.
Cocaine you got? About a small child's worth.
Yeah, you know.
He's
happens.
In the 80th percentiles. He's got a little bit of growing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after that, then there was another occurrence. Another bag of bricks of cocaine were found at Paradise Beach, which is outside of Melbourne, Florida. There, a beachgoer alerted a police officer to a suspicious package. The package says Diamant on it.
Diamant?
Yeah,
it's
Spanish
for cocaine.
Yes, I don't know. It's some sort of...
Maybe.
Know, trying to fool people, thinking it's an actual package somewhere or something.
I don't think that's what it is.
So in both instances...
Well, I looked it up and it says it's a rocket that was first exclusively French expendable launch system. I don't think that's right.
In both instances, the contents of the packages were tested and both were determined to be cocaine. So there's a possibility that more cocaine may come on shore.
Do they
know?
And
of course, police are saying if you find them, please call the police.
Road trip.
Right. Yeah, right? I think we have an idea.
Quick, we
got to
book a flight.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's go to Florida.
I'm more interested in reselling it. That's a lot of money.
$28,000.
Yeah, you know, that's knock out a lot of student loan debt right there, you know?
Yeah.
Do they know where it came from? Like, where's this washing up from?
I guess it's probably from one of
the islands.
The
cartel, duh. Yeah.
The cartel. But, like...
In general.
Just in general. But,
yes.
But, like, where's it coming from? Is it coming from other parts of Florida? Is it coming from...
Probably one of the islands.
The cartel.
The cartel.
There's just the location called the cartel.
It's everywhere else.
Gotcha.
Okay.
The cartel.
The cartel.
Like, the drug cartel.
Yeah, I understand the drug cartel.
Okay, well, you're looking at me like you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Well, no, because I'm
trying... The cartel.
No, because I want to know, like, is this from Florida? Like, where is this huge stash of drugs that got hit that's just, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, if it... Where it came from
the
specifically.
The Bermuda Triangle.
Well, that's what I mean. Or is it being washed up from parts, from other places, you know?
It's probably one of the islands or one of the trips from the cartel to Florida or something that probably got hit.
Like a boat or something?
Yeah,
by pirates.
Pirates are real.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay. So, there you go. All right, let's get to, I have another Florida story here for us.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Floridian charged with threatening another man with a machete.
Yes.
Machetes.
Yeah.
I love machetes.
People love machetes in Florida.
People stab things, people with the weirdest things.
Wait, yeah. Guys, real quick, what would be your weapon of choice?
What, in Florida?
In general.
In general? I mean, what's the task at hand? Am I aiming to kill somebody?
Weapon of choice. That's it.
Lightsaber? Can I actually do a lightsaber?
That's a pretty good weapon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you can do a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Mine's boring compared to that. I was just going to say a gun. I mean, that's the most efficient thing.
That's a pussy move. Mine would be myself. I would get ninja training, and I would just be able to tear you apart.
Ooh. That sounds...
Wow.
That sounds intimidating.
Can I pick superpowers then?
Nope. You're out.
Oh, that's
it. What the hell? How come he gets a lightsaber and you get magical ninja powers?
Didn't say magical. I would go to training. I would
people in half?
Like, you know in all the movies like Batman Begins and Kill Bill when they go to like a training camp?
Right. And they have the montage.
Yes. I would have that montage.
So you're going to montage yourself to the point where you can rip people in half.
Correct.
Mm. Okay. There you go. I like that.
Maybe, or something. Not literally rip. You took it too literally. I didn't mean
rip. Well, you made a ripping motion.
Right, because
like
I was
disemboweling
the murder,
someone.
But I mean like...
Not Mortal Kombat?
You're enjoying the murder.
I just mean like in ninja ways, like how I would destroy
you. You quote unquote tear him a new one, metaphorically.
Yes. Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I get it.
Okay.
I can interpret your hand gestures.
Right. So
it looked like you were disemboweling somebody standing on the table in front of you.
No, I was, but it was more of like it just to promote
a metaphorical
the
disemboweling.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm still going with gun because it's the quickest and easiest.
Because you're a pussy. Go ahead.
Well, in this story, this Floridian has a machete, and the reason why he threatened the man with the machete was because the man failed to flush his toilet. Yeah, how dare you?
I mean, it's gross.
How dare you?
It's inconsiderate, but just flush it.
But where's the toilet? Are they roommates?
46-year-old...
Or did somebody chase him out of a public restroom?
Yeah.
46-year-old Keith Mounts was busted Saturday night on a felony aggravated assault count following the confrontation at his residence. Yeah, no, so this dude dropped the deuce in his bathroom and didn't flush it.
So are you sure it was a deuce?
Yeah.
So these people knew each other, right? They're friends, or
yeah,
okay.
Mounts pointed a machete in the victim's face after he told him to to fucking flush the toilet. Yeah, how dare you? Come on.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Shit stinks. It up.
It's so, why would you go to the bathroom and be like, it's totally fine to leave that there?
Who's never, like, that would stink so bad.
Yeah. Why would he think, why would he assume that's okay?
Yeah, you know what? I don't blame this guy. I think this is perfectly acceptable.
They're probably both on drugs, though.
Florida, yeah. After all that free cocaine washed up.
Maybe, yeah, getting drug poop drugs. That's what it is.
He was saving it.
He was saving the drug poop drugs.
Oh.
The drug poop drugs.
Yeah. I get it
now. There you
go.
Yeah, circle.
So he was trying to find a savvy way out of it. He can't admit to his friend that, like, I just pooped some drugs into your toilet. I'm going back for them. So that's why.
He had to let them simmer for a bit.
That's how it gets all the flavor.
Oh, come on.
Why do you have to take it
Well,
there?
You said you got to let it simmer. Right? Simmer.
So
it's like a nice stew. You know, you got to let it simmer.
Okay.
Mike, I'm going to mute you in just a minute.
Wow.
So,
I know he has that power. He's only ever used it once.
Yeah.
Can I push my luck?
The man.
Should I keep talking about the poop stew?
The man added that Mounts.
His hand is itching towards the mute button.
Yes, I'm about to.
Mute him.
No. Keep reading the story.
Mute him.
What do you want me to
do? It.
I'm asking you to read.
Cut him off.
So the.
Yes.
The. Wait, where was I in the story? Okay. So the man added that Mounts threatened to chop him with the machete. Cops then responded to the 911 call. They found the machete thrown in the home's yard. Mounts told police that he was defending himself with the machete. Oh, so now he's defending himself. Oh, yeah.
Well, Florida. Oh, I'm back.
Oh, hey. Mike.
There we go. You're good.
Mike can respond again.
Back. I was going to say, Florida has those crazy stand your ground rules, so anything goes.
Right. If you don't flush the toilet, that's actually assault on your property.
That's assault.
Yeah, there you go.
Brother.
I'm defending myself.
I mean, it's assaulting the senses.
Yes. That is true. There you go. It is.
Isn't it? Right? It's like destruction of property. They could come up with some weird things, you know.
When Mounts was at the police station, he was supposed to provide a written statement to police, but
he didn't know how to write.
No, but instead, instead he simply wrote just, quote, shit happened.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean,
very appropriate.
That's hashtag technically the truth.
Yeah, there you go.
I love this guy.
Unfortunately, cops didn't see it favorably. He's booked in the county jail where he's being held on a $5,000 bond. So, unfortunately, he's not getting out of jail.
Why can't you pull a knife on someone in your house?
I guess.
Is that the argument?
I guess the argument is he's your friend. You let him into the house, so it's not like he's an intruder or anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Realistically, he didn't need to pull the machete, and the other guy should have just flushed the toilet. Like,
but what if...
what?
I mean, did he definitely... Like, he didn't stab him with it?
No, he threatened it. I thought
for some reason I just assumed he stabbed him.
No,
I heard Florida and I skipped to the part where they were killing each
other.
Yeah,
if he didn't stab him, threatened. It's fine.
Oh,
that's
just
fine.
Threatened.
You can do whatever you want in your house with a knife if you don't stab someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was hurt.
It's like that Simpsons episode where Bart and Lisa are like, I'm just going to swing my arms in a circle. And if any part of you happens
get
in the way,
I'm just going to swing this machete.
Around it.
And if you happen to
walk in front of it, that's your own problem.
Yep.
Maybe he was trying to cut through the stink.
It was so thick he had to cut through it with a machete.
Ooh.
Why do people just have machetes?
In Florida, yeah.
This is the most concerning thing.
Because the alligators in their backyards.
Yeah, I guess that's a good...
All right, I mean, yeah,
that's a good weapon against an alligator.
Is it, though?
Yeah, you just chop it on the
ground. Are you taking this everywhere you go?
You never know.
I'm heading out for work. Better grab my machete to go to my office.
I could use it for the spider webs when I go walking at night.
I do hate that. Every time I walk out of the door, I must look like a lunatic to the neighbors across the alley because I walk around waving my arms all over the place.
Oh, you already look like a lunatic at work because of the geese.
That's true.
Waving your arms around at the geese.
Yeah. Right.
So there you go. Machete. Make sure if you're living in Florida, make sure you have one ready because apparently that's the weapon of choice in Florida. Okay, and let's see. I think we got time for one more story. Yeah, we got time for one more.
Woo!
Ah! Yes! I was
like, what was that?
And of course, it is again another Florida story.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
But this one is a different weapon we're going to talk about. So,
please say
Mike,
his penis. Please say
Nana,
his penis. Please say his penis.
Any chance one of you guys have $8.5 million lying around?
Oh yeah, of course.
Because if you do, you might help me out here. Because a Florida airline leasing company called Jet Lease is actually offering a working 1980 General Dynamics F-16 Fighting Falcon for sale to the public. Yes! You could live out your dream and be Top Gun!
That sounds safe.
What about the girl that loves an airplane?
Oh, yeah, remember her?
Oh, where is she?
She can marry it.
She could buy it. This is the mail order bride.
Sit in it.
Someone. Yeah, whoa. Whoa,
that's pretty racy.
Stepping up to the next level. Somebody got $8.5 million. Hook them up.
Yeah, remember that lady?
Yeah, that's right. She loved her.
She had like
airplane.
The mini model that she slept with, and then she had like a piece of the wing.
That was really creepy.
Yeah. But
remember that.
If you have $8.5 million to burn in Florida, you could buy this F-16 Fighting Falcon.
You know who else should buy this? Is that dude that had the missile.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, that's a good point. Because the ad specifies that the aircraft has a range of 2,400 miles, can operate at 55,000 feet, can go to Mach 2.
Okay.
But what really makes it rare, according to the Air Force Times, is that this specific aircraft is still capable of supported guided missile weapons, which makes it unique, as most are usually demilitarized or too old for weapons upgrades. Yes. So you could literally go Grand Theft Auto on this if you have more money to pour into it.
Like buy missiles?
Yes. If you want to buy missiles.
But I feel like legally obtaining missiles might be difficult.
Well, no, because we had another odd news story where somebody bought a missile in Florida.
Yep.
And drove it down the highway in his convertible.
In his BMW convertible.
Oh. There's something very, very wrong just with society in general.
Especially
just
Florida.
The collective you again. Please, fuck you.
You.
Fuck you, you. Why?
Here we are.
What? You don't want to buy a F-16 Fighting Falcon?
We have so many problems. And now they're like, here, have this military-grade vehicle that can rain death from 55,000 feet.
But I could live out being Maverick on Top Gun.
Go be Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I would buy it to marry it.
There you go. Then it's going to marry it. I don't know, man. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. I'm just dumbfounded by this.
I wonder
why
eBay.
Is the selling point that you can still upgrade the weapon system? Like, that worries me.
You don't get it, do you, Mike?
No, I get it, and it worries me.
You have to watch Top Gun and live out the fantasy of being Maverick.
Is this, like, the same one from Top Gun or something?
No, they flew F-14
Tomcats. Are you just associating it with Top Gun?
Yeah, because
I... And what's Mach 2? What's Mach 1?
It's roughly 1,600 miles an hour, I think.
Mach is apparently the speed of sound, so Mach 2 is just over 2 times the speed of sound. There you go. I had information ready to go for you.
It's 1,534 miles per hour.
So how am I able to do that?
Flying really fast? I don't know. How are you able to do Mach 2?
That sounds scary.
Yes.
I don't want to take part in that anymore.
That's really fast. I mean, think about like when you get your car up to like 100. This is like 15 times.
Right.
That.
No, that hurts. That hurts, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, your skin would just peel off.
Well, that's why they have to do...
I'm going to play my whole Top Gun theme, yeah, of course.
It's got the whole soundtrack pulled up. That's why they do that, like, that G...
Are you going to go see the new movie?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll see it with you.
It's all right.
I had a Top Gun party in college.
Yeah.
It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be horrible. But we'll get drunken.
Right.
Are you guys gonna sit in the front row?
No. Yeah. No.
And then go at 1,500 miles an hour.
Right into the movie. Yeah.
Yes. No. But we
it's
will,
the true 4D experience.
We will enjoy our Top Gun experience. Oh, by the way, since this is actually listed for sale, I have its last. owner history.
Okay.
The plane was last operated by the country of Jordan, which purchased the plane from NATO.
So, is that a thing? Can you just go on NATO's website and add stuff to the shopping cart? Do they have discounts on Black Friday?
I don't know. This is all new to me. I can't believe you can actually buy this.
This is well above my pay grade.
Yeah, but it was the country of Jordan. It's not like one person bought
it. Right, that's true.
But somebody made that purchase.
Someone in, like, the country did.
Somebody, like, filled out the paperwork, and they're like, I want one jet, please.
Well, they clearly didn't take good care of it, because now it's for sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it?
What's the Blue
sale?
Book value, resale value on a jet like that? Like, what they originally buy it for?
Yeah, right.
Do they retain their value once you take them off the lot?
I don't know.
No, why is it for sale?
What packages do they offer?
Why don't you have the answer?
Can I get that in red?
It's for sale!
Will they tint the windows for me?
Are you going
to
play
be able to see.
Take My Breath Away?
I can.
So we can make love in the dark?
Ooh.
And then just our shadows are kissing?
Oh, with the blue bug light?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's,
am I
that's
missing
classy.
A reference here?
It's the best scene ever.
That is what classy.
Is this from Top Gun?
Yes.
I haven't seen Top Gun
Get
in a while.
Leave.
Yeah.
If you don't remember this as a man and you were a boy, if you don't remember this part, then you're not a man.
I don't remember anything of Top Gun.
I have to agree with Nana. Come on.
Because you would have jacked it to this.
I don't remember.
I thought all lovemaking was made by a bug light.
I thought this was the best lovemaking scene I've ever seen.
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't remember Top Gun. I can't. I've only seen it once so long ago.
This is why you need to be off the podcast.
Yeah. Come on. Top Gun is great. By the way, would it be okay if I just stop by and take a shower at your house?
Yes.
Remember that? Isn't that
yes,
weird?
That's the whole intro to that part.
Yeah.
It's a little bizarre.
I'm going to come over and just, I need to take a shower.
But that's how we bang by the blue light.
Right. That, exactly. That's what happens in the Top Gun.
It's so good. Now I have to. Now I want to go home and watch that movie.
I'll watch. Yeah. It's great.
He's going to join me so we can make
I'm
love
excited.
By the blue light.
Yeah. Top Gun. Woo!
You guys are having a Top Gun moment over here.
Top Gun marathon.
I'm really feeling it.
You know, Top Gun did not stick out to me. I don't get the love for the movie.
It's so bad. It's great.
It's
That's
so
what it
good.
Is.
It's so good. You can be my wingman anytime.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
You can be mine. Yeah.
Oh, man. That sounds bad.
Yeah.
That sounds so real bad.
It's so good. And Val Kilmer is in it.
Yeah, he does that awkward bite thing.
Yeah.
And how can you not love the volleyball scene?
Oh, yeah, where they're all shirtless with their dog tags.
What is wrong with this movie?
What? You mean what
it's
is amazing
80s.
With this movie?
It's classic 80s.
How can you not?
Action 80s.
Yeah, I get it. I know. You've played this song a million times on this podcast.
Because I have it queued up always. You think I wouldn't have this queued up?
He's had a boner this whole story so far. Because of this
The table
movie.
Is tilted on that side.
I was wondering what that was.
The equipment is like shifting this way. You gotta...
Sorry. Once you get started on Top Gun, woo.
Playing with the boys.
Yeah, I'm getting a little. Woo. Man. Yep.
You guys are weird.
Hey, man.
Talk about making my day. This is a great ending. To a shitty day.
So, you know, I'll join you for volleyball after the podcast.
Shirtless volleyball.
Shirtless, yes, be shirtless.
Oh, man. And you gotta play the song, of course, too.
Of course. It has to be blaring.
Mm-hmm.
Due to security concerns, the buyer of this airplane must comply with the International Traffic in Arms Regulation.
Yes, see?
That makes sense.
Which is a regulatory group that restricts and controls the export of defense and military-related technologies.
Yeah, because you can't just sell this to Jim Bob down the street.
I mean, I guess if they comply with all the regulations, they could.
Yeah, but there's probably a lot of regulations.
Probably.
I would presume. You're both like, probably.
Probably. But I don't know. This is Florida. For all I know, there isn't.
You know, I keep going back to the story where the person somehow acquired a 6-foot Israeli missile.
Anything's possible in Florida, apparently.
He bought it, and then he drove it back to his house in his convertible.
In his
it was
BMW
sticking
convertible.
Out the top.
Oh, I thought you meant he, like, tied it to the convertible and
no.
then went as no, missile fast.
No, like he put it in the front seat with him and it was just sticking up like a passenger.
Yeah, no big deal.
Did he take the Hove lane, though?
The what?
The lane where you get through if you have an extra person
the
in
carpool?
The car.
No.
The carpool lane.
I hope he didn't. I don't know.
I don't
think
so.
That doesn't count. The missile's not a person.
Yeah, but you know how you like put a fake person in there to make it look like?
You just slap a wig on that. There you go. You got a person.
There you go.
Wow, that person's really tall.
And thin. Pointy.
And thin, yeah.
And pointy. Shiny.
And it has the Israeli flag on his torso. That's weird.
All right, and
I worry for the safety of Florida.
Yeah, Florida. I don't know. There's some weird things going on.
Maybe one day it'll just break off and float away.
The guy who
America's going to castrate itself is just going to float off into the
ocean. Whoever buys this jet just like crashes it, and then Florida just falls away from the continent.
Crashes
United
right
States.
There at the state line, and it just cracks and floats away.
Right, just whoop.
Makes sense.
All right, well, there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. That was a lot of interesting news that we had to learn about.
It was something.
Which gives us our final segment. What have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that, according to Nena, playing with the boys is the perfect ending to a shitty day.
Yeah.
There you go.
I agree.
I don't know if she's referring to the song or actually playing with the boys.
All types.
Both at the same
time. Wait, not all types of boys.
Okay.
I also learned that we're opening a special therapy branch to the Crispy Noodle. We have a wide range of new age healing products like the Wacket Station, the Humtow, everything you need for your spiritual and physical, mental well-being.
Yeah.
And it's a complete service.
Yep.
It's very affordable, $200 an hour. This counts as your first session. Make checks payable to me. Thank you.
Yep, Crispy Therapy.
Crispy Therapy. Oh, we have to share it? Oh, okay. Darn. I also learned that the theme of this episode is we're just pissed off at the collective you.
Yeah.
Just the you in the sky, the you all around us.
The Florida you.
The Florida you, especially because they're buying jet planes now. I don't
like
get
Grand Theft Auto.
Right. Like, this is very worrying to me.
Yeah.
It's not as worrying to you guys. You guys are all about living out your Top Gun fantasies, and I'm like, why is Jim Bob down the street about to buy a fighter jet?
Why not?
And why can he also buy missiles in Florida? And why is Florida the way it is?
Why does everyone have a machete in Florida?
Well, yeah. Oh, well, we learned that was for the alligators.
Oh, of course.
That makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on, Rich. Keep up here.
But, I mean, apparently it's like when you're a kid, you get a machete, apparently.
You're born, and you're like, here's your birth certificate and your machete.
Yep.
Baby's welcome. First machete.
Aw, so sweet.
That's how they get out of the womb.
And they have to cut their way out.
Wow. Pretty invasive. Wow.
God.
Okay.
There's a lot of weeds they got to cut through.
All right.
What?
Is there...
They don't maintain themselves in... I don't know.
Oh, you mean like her bush?
Yeah.
I was trying to make an innuendo, but you apparently...
I thought you meant like the umbilical cord and all that
stuff.
Well,
that too. That's the vines.
Okay.
You use a machete on stuff
You've
like that.
You've already had this pictured and planned out.
No.
All right. There you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And wow. There you go. What an ending. Nena, thank you for being here on this episode.
Thanks for letting me be here.
I love it when you get Mike to not... To be laughing so much he doesn't want to be next to the microphone.
You broke me there, because I had no response. I was just like, no.
Nena, thank you for being on this episode. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Glad I could bring joy.
Joy!
Yep. And, we got to go see Top Gun. That has to be the part.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. This day is the best now.
Yes. Yay! All right.
We did it. Yay.
Best day ever.
All thanks to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yep. And Top Gun.
Sure. That
mostly
too.
Mostly Top Gun.
Okay.
Fair enough. But unfortunately, we got to start to wrap this episode up. We got to get ready for our Top Gun marathon. But
the
one
movie.
Yeah, the one movie. Yeah.
Just over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I did Never at my college ending. Party.
Almost like this show.
Right. But yeah, we got to start wrapping this up. This has been the Crisp Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Search The Crispy Noodle and you'll find us all there.
You can also find us on YouTube, but most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, everywhere you can get podcasts. You get the latest episode downloaded for free every Thursday, so make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family. The craziness is The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch and get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you can find us there. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Tweet us any news stories you want us to talk about. Any odd news comes to me. Anything else, though, can be either of us or the Crispy Noodle main Twitter page. Let us know what's happening, and if we talk about something you submit, we'll give you a shout out. So yeah. Let us know if there's something you want us to talk about. But for right now, we gotta wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's gonna do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!